Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance whenever we're able. We do routines to call the scenes, to footwork in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more than table. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We'll rock and mad in Camelot. We sing from the die of Camelot.
I have to push the pram along.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly case.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hear ye, hear ye. King Shazir the Terrible. All rise for King Shazir the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. and the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies, and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look.
Terrible, always working to fill the terrible in the Knights of the Round Table.
get it. I understand, and I know that the world is kind of strange, the world we live in. And we're going to talk about people are crazy today, because that's pretty much what they try to tell you all the time, that you're crazy. If you talk about any kind of thing conspiratorial or anything that just doesn't smell right. You know, one of the things that I'll just touch here briefly, maybe we'll talk about it later if we got time, but Barbara's got some really wonderful things that we can talk about as well to add to the mix of the crazy. But there was an incident called the USS Liberty incident. That's what they called it, an incident. But either way, something I never even knew about. I never even heard about it. And I just kind of stumbled across it today, but, you know, it's a pretty big deal as far as I'm concerned when one of your allies sinks one of your ships, and especially in the manner that explained by the survivors of who did it. But underneath that video, Google or YouTube, hey, they're both the same. I guess Google bought YouTube, but either way, they found it necessary to put under the official version, according to Wikipedia, a banner that every video out there that is any even remotely not for the mainstream narrative always gets this little label up underneath there. So if you talk about the earth being flat, you'll get the round version. If you talk about the you know, moon landing not being real or whatever, you'll get this little label down under there. And so it's kind of a way of controlling the narrative for whoever and whatever conversation is going on at any given time, to steer people away from, oh, well, look, this is what they're saying on the video, but here's the official story here according to Wikipedia. I don't trust Wikipedia. They got a bias for everything. But nonetheless, when you try to talk about something out there that might be slightly controversial, on top of the censorship, you get this little label down on there. But you also get a label where you're crazy. You're a tinfoil hat conspiracy nutcase. And we're seeing that a lot these days. There's a lot of things going on in this world. I mean, I started off this morning to try to find some show content, and I found a lot of craziness. There's so much to talk about, it just blows your doors off of how much is actually going on. There's a YouTuber out there called God Rules, and he puts these videos out. This just happened in America, but something even stranger happening in China revealed. Well, either way, he's going through and he's showing all these catastrophic weather things that are going on all over the planet. Of course, that brings you into a conspiracy about tampering with the weather, that people could use technologies to actually cause catastrophic weather like this. Of course, now you got the global warming / climate change / climate disruption, or whatever it's going to be next week when the math don't add up on top of that. So look, this is why you could say, oh, well, see, I told you it was global warming, because look at that earthquake over there, look at that hurricane or that tornado over there, you know. Never mind the other fact that there could possibly be a little bit of tampering going on, you know, with the governments of the world. There was actual document posted a while back called Owning the Weather by 2025 by the U.S. military. And so why would you put a document out about owning the weather by 2025, essentially, you know, weaponizing the weather, weaponizing nature against people? Of course, now when you say that, now you start to sound crazy again. How could you do that? Well, it's not. We could put tons of examples of cloud seeding and different things that could occur due to fracking and pulling hydraulic pressure out from under the ground. The science is there to show how you could actually cause an earthquake, how you could actually cause a tornado or a hurricane, or even make a rain cloud. NASA's got a video out there that they don't even hide that shows in a documentary when they fire this rocket engine up, because it's a hydrogen engine that they're planning on using to go to Mars with. Well, when that hydrogen engine is running for about 65 seconds, it puts a doggone huge white cloud up of oxygen and hydrogen that then in turn condenses, and somewhere down the line, about within the hour, it starts pouring down rain. And so they just literally in front of the world produced a cloud. But when you would say that NASA has the capabilities to produce a cloud, you're now in the crazy zone again. And I'm like, I'm just baffled, because all the things out there, there's so many different things, from vaccinations to, you know, companies that sell drugs, and the drug symptoms on the side of the doggone bottle or the deal is longer than my leg and my arm combined. You know, I'm 6'2". If you think about my toe touching the ground and my hand touching the ceiling, that's how long the list of doggone side effects. They say possible, air quote, side effects, not excluding death. And I'm like, what the heck are they trying to drive us crazy and kill us? Is this the plan? Because I wouldn't take that medicine. You know, what's the point? If you're going to find possible side effects worse than what you actually had, you know, and when you go to, like, the doctor at the VA or somebody, and you they tell you you have to have a certain vaccination or a shot because of certain incident or whatever, and then you want to sit there and talk about it before you actually inject this into your bloodstream, they look at you like you're crazy. You don't trust me because I got this white coat on? What, are you crazy or something? I'm a doctor. You're just a dude, right? And I'm like, what? This is not right, folks. I mean, it's just not right. I mean, this is going on, and you, man, I tell you, all you got to do is just take your mouse and click over there on YouTube and just let whatever comes up come up, and you'll see crazy. I mean, just pure crazy. You got people out there fighting over everything. There's people fighting over whether or not it's okay to be gay or not. You know, people fighting over whether or not the, you know, Donald Trump's hair is real or not. You know, I don't know if his hair is real. I'm not going to go up there and try to yank a wig off. It might be real. He might do some screaming. I'll get shot by the doggone Secret Service or whatever. I ain't doing that. But nonetheless, you got people out there arguing over whether or not Donald Trump is corrupt or he isn't corrupt. You got people out there arguing over all kinds of crazy stuff. And yesterday I mentioned on the Mad Science show where you can look it up and people are actually lighting their farts on fire. And I'm like, the whole world, all these people are crazy. Is it... Am I the only one?
The whole world is crazy.
Yeah.
I'm there with you. Hi everybody. Yeah, it's good to be here today. I guess I'm having a humorous day. Finding everything kind of funny and humorous and joking around, and you know, otherwise I'd be jumping off a cliff. So I'm just here's something. This is extraordinary to me. You're talking about geoengineered weather, and there's definitely looking like that is a reality. You know, I mean, you can do your research. It's looking like that. People have been noting, and even scientists themselves have been saying these weather patterns or these excessive hurricanes or tornadoes or earthquakes are never seen before, and blah blah blah. And 45 years in some part of the world or state, they had this happening, which never happened before. But here's something for you. Did you know that there was an engineer in the 1930s that apparently created a rain-making machine? He made it rain in several places, but then he disappeared without a trace.
Well, that don't surprise me none.
I'm just saying. Watch out.
But the thing about discovering the thing about it is when you come across these subjects like this, you're crazy for even talking about it. When let's take the drug thing for a second. You got a long list of Bayer and all their different products that they're involved in, and that long list kind of looks a little bit on the suspicious side. But if they're not trying to kill you, they sure do make themselves look awful guilty. And the same thing with the mainstream media. If they're not trying to lie to you, they sure make themselves look pretty bad. You know, so you put a conspiracy out there. You tell everybody this is a possibility that this may or may not have happened. And then when they start talking about it, you tell them how crazy they are. They're the one to put the bug in your ear to begin with. Well, you know what I'm saying? It's
well, I think that the reason I posted this, the products, Bayer products from A to Z, was because of the recent Monsanto lawsuits about Roundup, and Bayer now owns Monsanto's company, and people have been suing, you know, Monsanto for their the cancer, you know, various other illnesses, and they're winning millions of dollars. And so I just started looking at, you know, Bayer. Who is Bayer? You know, I think Bayer aspirin. That's about it. That's all I know. Bayer aspirin, and maybe I don't know some whatever they sell pretty much, but they have products from A to Z. And they're pretty freaking crazy here. You know, they have their crop protection, Acceleron, Adalat, which is pharmaceuticals for cardiology. They have hypertension pharmaceuticals, which is Adempas. They have Adengo, which is an herbicide. It's crop protection. Then they have it's a residual and foliar herbicide that combats annual grasses and broad-leaved weeds and corn. You know, that's like, these are nature, okay? So, but this is going to kill those. It's a herbicide. And then they have the Advantage, which is a companion for animals, which is for animal health. What it does is it's a proven flea treatment that will protect your pet and your home from being infested with fleas. But meanwhile, the poison in that Advantage is killing you, because it's, and people have noted that flea collars are actually sickening their animals.
Oh yeah, my cat had an instantaneous reaction to putting a flea collar around him.
Oh my gosh.
And his eyes automatically began to water, and he started drooling right out of the gate. I mean,
yeah,
it was instantaneous.
I saw this person put a flea collar on their cat and came running over. I lived next door to them, and the cat was foaming at the mouth.
Yeah.
Foaming at the mouth. I said, take that thing off.
Yeah. So I couldn't use a flea collar on my cat. And matter of fact, that's probably what ended up killing my cat, was he got a really bad case of fleas, and I couldn't keep him off of him. I tried everything, all the natural remedies and stuff like that, and it just got bad.
Well, Bayer puts out all this stuff, and there's more and more and more. There's for seeds, Agroeste, which is a seed branding offering Brazilian farmers. Here you go, corn, soy, and sorghum solutions to improve productivity and maximum return on their investment. And you know, that's the geoengineering of the seeds. We know the story of India, what happened to those poor people with the GMO seeds that they got. That's thousands of India's farmers were committing suicide. This is your and these are all advocated and given the okay by the government, but tons of stuff here that they've gotten. I was just looking at this, all these pharmaceuticals, chemicals, and various other products that these people push out upon the public. And talk about crazy. To me, when we say the world is crazy or people are crazy, it's like the people like that, to me, are crazy.
Yeah.
And they're making us crazy. That's what I see.
You can't tamper with nature without expecting something to go wrong. That should be common sense.
No, you can, but you know, this is sort of like common sense, critical thinking and common sense. You say, well, wait a second. You know, to me, it's like, why would you want to make a better tomato? I mean, there's nothing like a homegrown tomato, and there are heirloom tomatoes, but they're messing with fish, they're messing with corn, they're messing with rice, they're messing with wheat, right? All this food that we are eating is now like Frankenfood. It's not real. It's messed with, tampered with.
Yeah, I used to joke all the time, if you want the materials to build a bomb, go to the snack section at the grocery store, and man, they got everything.
Like, well, get your plastic fix, because it's all wrapped in the plastic that has petroleum in it. So, you know.
I can understand why people would be crazy. You know, after what we've explained just briefly, we haven't even scratched the surface of things that are going on out there.
Yeah, if you can't handle what we're talking about now, maybe you better log off.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm just saying.
Go take a walk, get some fresh air.
At least we're going crazy together, you know, at least we're not alone.
Yeah. Go get some fresh air, take a walk, just, you know, turn it down, because we're just trying to make sense of, you know, something that just don't... The whole deal to me is, if they ain't doing nothing, they either got to be crazy, the governments and the people involved in all these different things that we've actually talked about, it's either intentional or they're crazy. Because there's no other explanation why somebody would do half of what they do. When you're talking about Monsanto messing around with genes so that you got corn that has a Terminator gene in it so that you can only grow it 1 year, and then you got to turn around.
Just think of that, a Terminator gene. Who in their right mind would come up with that?
Yeah,
have to be crazy.
Especially when you're talking about people starving in the world. Why would you want to risk that would be the only seed ever?
Well, that's what they did in India. They sold the people under this umbrella of this will, you know, extend your crops. You know, you'll have a better output, a better, you know, income. And then they found out that, yeah, you couldn't just take seeds off your plants and replant them like everybody does throughout history.
Yeah, heritage seeds.
You save seeds and then you replant them. No, the people couldn't do that, so they had to go back to the companies and buy more seeds, but they didn't have money, so then they got into debt because they said, okay, we'll give you the seeds, but you owe us this amount of money. So the debts were so huge, and the people, the output was really bad. The crops did fail, basically, in their country, and that's why people were killing themselves. These farmers... These poor farmers basically committing suicide, thousands of them literally, and I'm not making that up. You have to be, well, I'm going to step a little deeper into it. You have to be evil, not just crazy. You have to be evil to think about this type of a thing, to sell this product to the populations and not give a darn if it poisons them or if it doesn't work or... Whatever, you have to be crazy plus evil to do. In my estimation, I mean, I just can't wrap my mind around people who sit at a table in a think tank and determine how to eliminate the population like they did in the Hitler's time. I saw this film, this video, I'm just diverting here, about the head honchos of Hitler's men sitting around a think tank table talking about how they're going to kill the Jews or whomever. Jews, gypsies, gay people, we're all included across the board. And they talked about the amount of bodies or humans that would fit into a a train, fit in a boxcar, how many they could fit in, how long it would take to get them to the place, how what they would do step by step by step by step to the final solution. These people were sitting around a table discussing this with the murder, genocide on in their mind, in their heads. But that's government did it. Our government did that here on Turtle Island. It was the same thing. How are we going to how are we going to eliminate these, you know, this virus here on the land, these Indian people? How are we going to do it? Well, they sat down and they figured it out. Somebody figured out that if we put smallpox in blankets and then hand them out to the Indians because they're all freezing to death because they don't have any place to go and they're not living the way they used to, let's just hand them blankets with smallpox in them. And, by the way, Hitler loved that idea. He took that idea himself.
That's a mess. You know, that's another thing.
But this is crazy, but it is evil. I'm verging into that.
Using people for guinea pigs is another thing that, you know, they'll try supposed, test to see how fast that they can spread a flu and all this kind of stuff. And like, these weren't people who volunteered for this either.
We have the U.S. government, and it's not just here. The U.S. government, this information is coming out very recent about the forced sterilization of indigenous women across the board. And not just here, but women of color. So you have women of color, indigenous women, black women, and various other, who were, even in women in prison, they didn't know it, but they were sterilizing these women in prison. This is the government, our government, and other governments. So this is, again, it's like we talk about the Georgia Guidestones, about how, you know, they're trying to eliminate certain populations, and how do you do that best? Well, you stop people from having babies, you know. So the shocking facts about sterilization from our government continues today, you know.
Well, the thing that really gets me is that what you mentioned earlier about how evil a person would have to be, but when they put something out there like the Georgia Guidestones, did they do that just to get the pot stirred, or were they really serious about it? And when you question this kind of stuff, it looks like you're crazy, because, you know, they've already labeled everybody who questions authority as nutcases, tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theorists. But doesn't it look kind of bad that somebody would even remotely start saying we got to drop our population down to a certain point when the number of people on this world is supposedly way higher than that? That means somebody's got to go.
Well, wait a second. You have you have some people today, and actually when Obama was in office, his scientific advisor? I don't know. One of his advisors wrote a whole book on how to address overpopulation. I mean, you can Google that, how to address overpopulation. And it was pretty much based on, a genocide. I mean, he didn't use that word, but these people in high up places and authority. So who put the Georgia Guidestones there? Well, you know, what comes to my mind is the Clean Hands Act that we talked about. Like in the movies, we see a movie, right, and it's talking about the aliens coming and the world going, you know, insane or in Third World War, and they're blaming Russia, and really it was our own government. You see these movies, and we come to find out this is sort of like, as we've talked about, the Rothschilds. We could say, well, just name the Rothschilds as the head honchos of the, the elders, the old Zionist protocols for taking care of everything in the world, so under, you know, their plan. And basically, you say, well, the Clean Hands Act tells us, there's like, I guess you'd say, we figured out that the Clean Hands Act is sort of like they have to, by some unspoken law or rule, tell us what they're going to do in a way. They don't exactly come out and say it directly, but they show us or tell us what's coming.
So a lot of these things in movies that seem to mimic reality could very well be that forewarning that they're getting ready to do something dirty.
Yes, and well, let's look at the problem reaction solution theory, right?
Yep.
So if they put out a movie like the end of the world movie or whatever, or the apocalypse coming, whether it's going to be a nuclear war, whether it's going to be aliens, coming down here and destroying everybody, or the meteor coming in on you know, and destroying the world, whatever. Let's say, you know, if they have that plan, or they know that this is going to happen, so that's the problem. So they present the problem, okay, and then they watch for the reaction, okay. So in the case of a reaction to aliens coming, or the apocalypse coming, or, you know, a meteor coming and destroying the world, they watch the people's reactions, or listen to what the people are saying, or their reaction. They gauge the people's awareness, all right? They gauge the people's ability to have critical thinking, or, you know, whatever. And so if the people basically are dumbed down or have no critical thinking and just accept this as a fantasy movie and laugh or whatever, that's fine. They're fine with it. But here's the problem reaction solution thing in regards to climate change, or whatever they're calling it now. What are they calling it now? I don't know.
Climate disruption.
Well, they're calling it global warming. Huh. Now, yeah.
They changed global warming whenever we were shoveling 20 inches of snow off of our doggone driveways.
Well, the thing is, in some parts of the world, see, all right, so global warming affects different parts of the world, supposedly, or earth changes or climate change affects every part of the world differently. So, but here's the new thing, and I popped this in to the chat. In the New York Times, and I've talked about this a lot because this really annoys the heck out of me, is the chemtrails. Okay, we know the chemtrails have been being sprayed on us for longer than we actually thought. And we know what's in those chemtrails. Now, I'm talking like this, and there's going to be some people out there that are going to think I'm a conspiracy nutcase, I'm a wackadoodle, but I don't care. Do your research.
Well, all you gotta do is look up. Look up in the sky. It's not natural.
Well, but people look up in the sky and say, no, that's
contrails.
Contrails. No, that's contrails. That's normal. Do you know that tells me people never looked up in the sky,
yeah,
and they never really saw real clouds because it's been going on for so long they think those are real clouds.
Yeah.
So here's the New York Times has this article, and I knew this was coming. So here we are. We're talking about chemtrails and what is in it, and they're poisoning us. And there have been studies done for years now about the results of these chemtrails because of what is in it. Now, those of us who have been studying this or talking about this, excuse me, have been called nutcases or conspiracy wackadoodles. So now I've been saying they are going to actually create a problem so that they can put it out that we have the solution.
Yeah.
And the solution, guess what, is actually spraying us. And here's the article. The article, now, if you were scared, if you were afraid about climate change, which you should be, haha, because of the way they're pushing it, I see people are crazy, again, because I just saw an article where people are suggesting the way to end climate change is plant more trees. And I say the way to end climate change, or whatever's happening, is to stop corporations from clear-cutting rainforest.
Yeah.
And polluting the earth and the air. But people don't go there. Okay, they think we need to plant more trees. That will save us, right? So here's the article. Maybe we're not doomed after all. Well, I feel such relief when I read that headline. Oh, mwah, finally, we're not doomed. Oh, my God. So,
that's nice to hear.
Huh?
I say it's nice to hear.
Yeah, well, this is the saving the day. Here they come. Da-da-da-da. We're saving the day. There's a problem. We saw the reaction. People are freaking out. Now we have the solution. We have the brains to slow down climate change, but do we have the will? Now here it is. This is insane. Talk about crazy. As the effects of a warming climate intensify and a sense of impending catastrophe grows stronger, it's becoming easier to give in to environmental despair. Having spent the past 5 years studying the Arctic and traveling around Greenland, I feel that pull as well. Glaciers and sea ice are melting at an alarming rate. Temperatures are rising at a steady clip. To make matters worse, ta-da, the Trump administration's recent efforts to ignore fact-based scientific approach, rejecting, for instance, the use of computer projections to assess how a warming world might look in 2040, leads me to worry. The climate denialism is moving from the scientific fringes to the institutional center. It's worth considering that things may not be as bad as they appear. Now, I say this with a full understanding. Well, they say understanding, so it's only understanding for them because they don't understand that most indicators are pointing in the wrong direction. Yet, I also feel we're in danger of losing sight of two crucial and encouraging aspects of our predicament. The first is the extraordinary value of the climate knowledge that we've amassed over the past 100 years. A vast archive of data and wisdom that gives us a fine-grained understanding of how the planet is warming and how we can change the trajectory we're on. Now, this is one group of scientists, or paid-off scientists, if you want to say, some of them, who have this perspective. The second is the emergence of potential solutions, the products of a half-century of technological innovation, which may help us avert the worst impacts of the carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases we continue to release into the atmosphere by cow farts, and that's, I added that, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, almost certainly these tools, if used wisely, could keep global average temperatures from rising 3.6 degrees Fahrenheit or 2 degrees Celsius from a pre-industrial baseline. Even lesser levels of warming are probably hazardous, but that temperature is the point beyond which many scientists believe the planet will suffer irreversible impacts from extreme and dangerous warming. So, listen to this. Here's the solution. Recently, the entrepreneur and technologist Saul Griffith undertook a study of energy consumption for the Department of Energy and concluded that, using the United States as an example, decarbonization is not an unattainable ideal. In fact, he surmised it would be far easier than one might think, given our wealth and our technology know-how. Now, they're talking carbon dioxide that we all need, right?
Yep.
We don't need to assume an attitude of fear and dread, no, because they are going to save us. Our scientific progress is a story of technological optimism defined by an extraordinary sense of capability. It shows what might be built and gained in the coming decades, and not merely what could be lost. Now here, what comes to my mind is nuclear power plants. What do they do with all that waste? Now, they are so intelligent, these scientists. They came up with nuclear plants, but they don't know what to do with the waste. And now we've got thousands and thousands and thousands of tons of nuclear waste. Nobody knows what to do. Where are they doing? What are they doing with them? Are they sending it out to space?
They first put it into cooling ponds for 10 years, and then they take them out of cooling ponds, and then they're safe enough to store in barrels.
That's what they say.
And then they put them underneath the ground in concrete vaults.
Yes, that are leaking, by the way. Why are they concerned about their leaking if they're safe? Just asking.
Yeah, well, it's still... Go watch the video Galen Windsor's nuclear scare scam, and it puts question to whether or not it is even as dangerous as they initially said. But you can't know.
Well, I guess we have to question everything. That's what's making us crazy.
You can't know, because you can put a poison label on anything, and people are automatically trained to not touch something like that. You see what I mean? So, if it is perfectly safe, then they've been hiding free energy. And if it's not, then it's properly labeled. Does that make sense?
You know something? Nothing makes sense to me any day.
Yeah.
This day, nothing makes sense to me. I've become sort of cynical.
Yeah, me too.
Although I have great hope and faith, I'm still cynical with the system, of the authorities. I don't trust the authorities because of all what we're talking about.
Go ahead.
So, for all the terror and gloom that global warming portends, its discovery is one of the greatest achievements of modern science. Technology can now tell us everything from how many tons of ice were shed by the glaciers in Greenland over the past few years to how many millimeters the oceans rose. Indeed, almost every fact or idea that informs the climate debate, from the number of endangered species to the dangers of melting permafrost, results from countless scientists and engineers working in the field and in laboratories over the course of a century. This knowledge derives not only from heroic human expeditions to tropics, oceans, ice caps, and deserts, but also from exquisite orbiting satellites that constantly scrutinize natural systems and human impacts. Well, I'm going to say human behavior. Let's say human impacts. Okay, spying. We know how much we have to fix on this planet because we figured out how to measure just about everything. So now some commentators have warned that modern society's faith in technology has led to a mistaken belief that it will save the world. They embrace solutions that encourage widespread behavioral changes like consuming less, traveling infrequently, and adopting a plant-based diet. We're likely to need both technological and personal transformations. But in the end, it's technology that will save us, not only because it can, but also because it will have to. Now, there's a complete, total reliance, then, on technology and not per people's common sense, right?
Yeah, that's
in many, in many respects, technology is saving us already by identifying the magnitude of the threat, providing the extraordinary computing power required to run climate models to predict the future, and enabling architects and engineers to design for resilience against tempestuous storms and encroaching seas. So here's the solution. You know, basically it's natural climate solutions they're talking. Yeah, there are, like, planting vast forests. Well, what about stopping cutting the vast forests and using agricultural methods that sequester carbon in the soil? Oh, that's probably going to be a chemicalized whatever, will become increasingly important, you know. Now, in the coming years, our ability to improve technology will determine the viability of carbon capture techniques to reduce atmospheric carbon dioxide and the value or danger of injecting aerosols into the atmosphere to shade the sun, cool the earth, and provide more time for a clean energy transition. This is what we're talking about. The range of hypothetical geoengineering ideas, okay, is what they're talking about. The downside of this idea, which underscores the scope of the problem, is that 10 million windmills would be needed in this one idea. So what they're talking about here, and I'm just, it's all about geoengineering. Geoengineering the air, geoengineering the weather, geoengineering the glaciers, and so on. They are talking about the answer here, again, is to spray this shield over the earth.
Yeah.
You know?
Operation Solar Shield.
Yes.
But when you look up and try to tell the average Joe what you're looking at, and does this not concern you? Oh, no, that's just natural. You know what? That it just doesn't make any sense. These folks don't even seem to even remotely care, but even if they do care, it's like, well, what can I do about it? You know, so what's the point of even trying to tell anybody about it if only thing that they do is say, what can I do about it? Well, it's going to take a whole bunch of what can I do's about it getting involved to say, look, we don't want you spraying crud over our air. You know?
Well, you know, getting back to the USS Liberty, so there are people who have a conscience. And there's part of in this article that I put up, this person many years after that incident when Israel attacked our USS Liberty ship and killed some of the military there. They said it was a mistaken identity. That's why it happened. Now, years later, someone interested in this whole subject and doing a study and a writing on it interviewed some of the Israeli pilots, and one of the pilots said he saw very clearly the U.S. flag on that ship. He knew it was a U.S. ship. He radioed it into his commander, and the commander said, just ignore it and go do what you're told to do. Bomb that ship, the USS Liberty. So when he did, he spent all of his ammunition and then flew back to base. He was immediately arrested.
So, just for questioning, he got arrested.
Oh, yeah.
That's messed up, man.
Yeah, well, exactly, because he saw the American flag flying on this ship that he was told by his superiors to go bomb. Okay, and he was surprised. He saw. He said, "Well, maybe they don't know." Innocent guy. How innocent? Innocent. And So yes, he got arrested. He did bomb. He did take part in it because his commander told him to just do your job. And yes, because he questioned his own government's determination, he was arrested.
Well, I'll just tell you that it. I keep saying nothing makes any sense anymore, but it does make sense if you actually look back at the. Take a big step back and you look at the overall picture of things. Guys like Bill Gates and Microsoft telling people, well, if we do a good job with vaccinations, we can cut the planet's population in half or something like that. And, you know, other things that were said like that throughout history, or even the Georgia Guidestones for that matter. I mean, if they don't want people to believe that they want to try to depopulate the planet, then maybe they shouldn't be saying that. But then you back up to what you were saying earlier about the clean hands thing, where they're actually got to tell you that they're getting ready to do something to you. And the only ones in the know of what's actually going on are the ones that are at the top pulling the strings. And they really have intents that aren't good for us. But when you say it, you're crazy, because you're just the people. You know, the people aren't supposed to, you know, talk and protect themselves. You know, the doggone Second Amendment. You know, there's a lot of people out there who advocate for, you know, all this gun stuff. You know, gun laws. Well, they even advocate for, you know, total confiscation of it. But what they don't realize, and they should realize, because history's proven it out many times, a population that can't defend itself against tyranny usually ends up not faring so well. And then whenever they do take all the guns away, people find other ways to fight with each other. They know that. And I don't even think it's necessarily the fact that they want to take your guns. All they have to do is put a soundbite out that says they want to take your guns, and the gun sales go through the roof. And so if you want to sell a lot of guns, tell everybody in America that the government's getting ready to take their guns. They're going to stop selling them. You ain't going to be able to buy them anymore. And companies like Walmart, who are in bed with the government, will stop selling certain ones or certain types of ammunition, you know. And people just walk on through life like as if nothing's going on. It's no big deal, you know. I've never seen such complacency, if that's the right word to use, where people just basically take it. They just take a beating. They get lied to all the time. I've been listening to one of the shows here on this network about different things, but there's a whole lot of talk about how nasty Trump is and stuff like that. Well, I don't know whether he's nasty or not. How could I? Because I can't believe anything coming from the mainstream media. And even when you get out here on the doggone internet and you try to do real research, and you'll find opposing stories on both sides of the fence. And we know that we've been lied to and manipulated, and that the propaganda and the mind control kind of things, that even sounds conspiratorial there, but the doggone manipulation that goes on is a real thing. It's a real deal. They have psychological operations to try to, you know, maneuver, you know, the population into doing and thinking, acting, reacting a certain way. They've been playing chess with the people for a long time. That's not even a conspiracy theory. That's fact. But you try to tell somebody that your government might not be on the up and up, and you're crazy. Oh, you're just paranoid. Yeah, well, our government wouldn't do that. You know, and under the guise of patriotism, you got people who will defend the same said government to their own demise. No matter what the government does to them, they'll defend it. And then complain when things are getting rough. You know, look what happens over in Venezuela. They're supposedly an oil-rich nation. They supposedly have all this oil over there. But their government is so out of whack that they can't get their act together, and they can't, the people over there starving in the streets and rioting and all that kind of stuff, and they got one heck of a mess going on there. That could be in any country. That could be here in the United States. But the thing about it is, if you step back again, you got to keep on stepping back for some reason, because this mess is huge. You step way back, you look at the big picture, you see what's going on in the oil market. They're literally gambling on the price going up or down in the oil market. They literally have different mega companies, oil companies out there competing and doing battle with each other. You know, whoever's going to come on top and monopolize. And then you hear about the fracking deal, and then somebody with common sense thinks, well, is it a good idea to crack the ground to extract gas? Because if you crack the ground and you release all that hydraulic pressure under the ground, you get sinkholes all over the place. And then out comes the people, the doomsdayers, who's going to say, oh, look, it's the apocalypse. We got holes popping up everywhere. Look what's going on. Or the Planet Xers, the ones that talk about there's a planet coming in and it's going to destroy us and all this kind of jazz. So how's a person not supposed to go crazy listening to all this? You tell somebody that your government's corrupt, and they start stockpiling on things because they think the economy is going to crash, or they're going to deliberately dump the dollar bill, and so people start prepping for, you know, the apocalypse coming up, or the worst case scenario kind of scenes, and everybody looks at them like they're crazy. But if you hadn't said that to them to begin with, they wouldn't have got all paranoid that you're going to hurt their family. You talk about depopulating the majority of the planet, that means that's probably you and I. It's not them. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, you know, I remember the bomb shelters. Everybody had a bomb shelter in their backyard. You remember that?
Yeah, and they used
you
to have drills in school.
We're old enough to remember that.
They used to have drills in school where you'd have to get underneath your desk and put your hands over your head, and this is supposedly to protect you from nuclear bomb.
I remember that.
So that's
that
me,
was crazy.
That's ridiculous. Anybody with science in their head would have realized that if a real nuclear bomb, your little cheapo desk isn't going to do nothing.
Well, do you know the world we live in is getting crazy, and the people in it are getting crazy? But actually, the politically correct thing to say is mentally ill, not crazy.
Well, they're making us mentally ill. They're either trying to kill us, or they're trying to make us mentally ill.
Well, people are no longer insane, or crazy, or maddened, or possessed. No, now they are mentally ill. So this, I'm reading this, because this person says, as a member of the mentally ill, I must protest this view of we, the crazy people. It hurts when someone thinks of you as ill. Sometimes being what you are is all you can do on this earth, and just because it is different or misunderstood or crazy does not make it wrong. Sometimes a little crazy can be the best thing possible. There have been a number of significant things that crazy people have done throughout history that have positively influenced the community around them. I guess, like they say, the Vikings used to revere their berserkers in battle, and, you know, then you have the madmen who were given positions as seers or prophets. I don't know if all that's good.
The berserkers, the berserkers in battle, that even sounds funny, but you'd think send the craziest man out to scare the living you-know-what out of him, because he's nuts, and they'll think the whole army's like that. Wow.
Yeah. I think a lot of the people that we put in political positions are berserkers.
Well, we should put them out there on the battlefield. You know,
that'll never happen.
Let all the politicians and the ones out there that's actually starting the stuff, let them go out there and lead the charge. You know, you used to see it back in the real olden times where the general would be right up front and he would lead the charge, you know, but then after a while they realize, hey, all their generals are getting whacked. We're going to keep them towards the back. So they're sitting up on the hill and telling them, you go down there and you take care of those people. They're the enemy. I'll be up here. Let me know when you're done. Right? Like, what? That ain't how this is supposed to work, but that's how it does. That's how it does. They're going to say that. You know, we need you to be a patriot and join the military. And then you do. And guess what? Whenever something happens to you, all the promises made are not kept. If that were the case, then we wouldn't have homeless veterans living out there in the streets. We wouldn't have people suffering. We wouldn't have these people over there committing suicide or being on all kinds of different drugs to self-medicate to try to cope with life after the mess that these government and, you know, money men got us into. And they wonder why. And how's people not supposed to be crazy? You talk about people gonna, you know, do something to your country or your family, and you got people that rush out and prepare for it, and then you want to try to tell them that, yeah, we need gun control? What? It's just, it's like they created
the
problem.
Well, that's crazy. You see, the thing is, how I feel that people are crazy is that there is no critical thinking. People don't have the ability to think critically, which means you have to stop, you have to do research, you have to, you know, assess all that you're being told and shown and do your own research and then come to a conclusion through critical thinking. But this is not what the majority of people do. You know, the mainstream media is basically pushing all this hype of fear and terror and rage and anger and, you know, whatever's onto the public, and people aren't thinking critically. They're just reacting.
Well,
it's just the blowing up of people or the reacting. And, you know, I saw in the two, there were probably more than these particular incidents, but there were photographs of when Trump was in London, visiting the Queen and various other persons there. There was this, you know, of course, a big rally against Trump in the streets, and there was two different incidences that I saw where there was a photograph of a group of people with the hate Trump signs standing around this elderly man, and apparently someone had thrown a milkshake on him, and they were pushing at him and hitting him. And there was a photograph of a woman, sort of like a middle-aged woman. I mean, there are a lot of people, but this woman had such an evil look on her face, a vile, her mouth was wide open, and she was screaming at this old guy. And it was a still shot of it. And basically the article was that they were angry at this man because he liked Trump. But they're ready as a mob to attack this man. And I kind of mentioned this on a Facebook post because it was on Facebook, that particular picture about him getting, somebody threw a milkshake at him. Someone responded and saying, oh, why they throw milkshakes at people is because they're fascist Nazis.
Jeez.
So the milkshake is supposed to indicate that they're a fascist Nazi. And I said to this person, so because he's a Trump supporter, that makes him a Nazi, and they throw a milkshake at him? I said, I don't get that thinking. The guy just has a preference, a right to say, well, I like Trump. And these are this mob who hates Trump is determining that everyone who likes Trump is a Nazi fascist. Then there was another incident in that same period of time where this mob actually pushed an old guy down on the street and were kicking him and punching him because of his, I guess he liked Trump too. Now, you think about this logically. Use your critical thinking. What is really happening here? What do we see happening? What this pushes of visceral and hate? Hatred upon a person who has a freedom, a right to vote or speak of their preference that the mob may disagree with, but they've taken it further and it's now becoming violence. Violence.
Yeah.
Against your fellow human being who has a right of freedom of speech.
Some of the doggone signs that they make just are really nasty signs, and they depict Trump. They got this big old blow up doll. Looks like he got orange hair and he's got a diaper on and all this kind of stuff. If the roles were reversed and you were doing that to the other side of the fence, they would call it hate speech. You know, they would call it, racist or homophobe or whatever, you know, but...
Well, my point is, I don't care who this person likes or dislikes. He has a right or she has a right. Those people have a right. They're out there protesting. They got their hate Trump signs. They have a right to do that. That's, you know, our rights, freedom of,
But throwing milkshakes, that's past the whole rights thing.
Well, or punching and kicking and pushing people down on the street. You see, that's that mob mentality that there are certain persons that want that to happen. The people get completely reactionary in their hate and their vitriol because they're being told certain things about a person, in this case Trump, and a lot of what they're being told, of course, is manufactured or misinterpreted,
misinformation, propaganda. Out there just steering the narrative towards whichever political party in either direction. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter if it's Trump or not. This is across the board.
Yeah.
This has been going on, across the board. But I'm concerned because of the hate and the reactions, the escalation of the violence that I'm seeing. And this is not just the first incident, of course. We saw that in Charlotte, that guy running over that young woman who had killed her with the car. We just see a big another incident. I didn't go into it too much about these Nazi, fascists, or white supremacists. I guess you want to lump them all into the same, basket. One was peeing on an Israeli flag. They were burning the American flag. They were beating up people who were. It was a gay pride. I think it was a gay pride parade.
Yep.
And you have the protesters. Again, you have a right to protest. If you don't...
Well, about those protests and the violence that goes out there, Grizz in the People for People chat room says because they are being allowed to get away with it, And he said evil only prevails when good stand by and does nothing. And
that's right.
That's the whole thing. You go out there as a Trump supporter and you try to defend yourself, suddenly you're a Nazi, you're a racist or whatever. They throw all these doggone labels on you. There is a such thing as reverse racism.
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing is that, I don't know, he says when prevails, when good stands by. Well, I don't know if it's so good. If supposedly good stands by and does nothing, I don't know. That, to me, that's not so good. Hey, Annie. Good to see you. So the point about this woman, this person's responding to me about the milkshake, her answer to what I was pointing out, the violence upon this old guy, the face of that woman with such hatred, her response was, oh, they threw the milkshake at him because that indicates he's a Nazi fascist. That was her response to the violence that I'm pointing out.
Well, and I heard people say that they thought it was funny, and so that kind of took off about milkshaking
people.
Yeah,
that's so funny. That's really funny to me. I don't get that funny thing. How could... This is what I'm concerned about with people's sense of humor, like it's funny to throw a milkshake in some person's face, spatter them with a milkshake, and then push them around and scream at them and spit at them. That's funny. This is, where are we going? That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Well, it's actually encouraged to do stuff like that. You know, you listen to actual politicians, like, what's that one lady's always running around talking about Impeach 45, Maxine Waters. She's always out there talking about, you know, getting up in people's
attacking
faces.
People.
And yeah. That's like, you're supposedly a representative of the people. Yeah, and you're sitting there promoting violence, and you know that half the people down at the bottom is going to be crazy anyway, and they're going to hear you and say, think you just gave them the green light to go out there and assault people. And they do. They go to restaurants. They run people out of the restaurants when they find out they're with a certain news media organization or, you know, a certain campaign. And they get by with doing this stuff. It's like there's a lot of videos back when they were protesting during the 2016 election and prior, where the police were just standing there not doing nothing while these supposed Antifa groups were smashing windows and setting fires to cars.
Yeah.
What happened to law enforcement?
Well, that's what happened. Grizz is saying that when somebody gets into your personal space, you push back, not whine and rely on passive discipline. But the thing is, you're one person with a mob of people around you screaming in your face and pushing at you and pushing you down to the ground. You know, yeah, I get it. The person wasn't whining, then they didn't have, what do you do it, with a mob? Mob mentality is a very scary circumstance. It's not an easy thing to deal with. When you get that mob mentality, it's these people are out of control, you know. And the police did stand by. They weren't helping. This is that other incident. They weren't helping this old guy. You know, they just let it all happen.
Yep, and that's probably part of that problem reaction solution. I saw a deal the other day where... I think it was actually yesterday I saw a video while I was out looking up content and stuff that these big money men that were lobbying the government to teach people in school in a way to make them more like worker bees, you know, more like you don't question nothing, you just do. You do your job without questioning anything, more or less. So they were dumbing down the people that were being educated in school and basically training their mind to not question authority. You couldn't question the teacher and ask the teacher why it is that this part right here that they're showing and teaching doesn't match up with this over here that is basic science, for example. You know, like climate change or global warming, you couldn't go to school today and say, oh, no, that's not happening, because then they pull the whole, consensus is the majority of the scientists say that it's a real thing.
Yeah.
But it's not. And you can't...
Well, this is nothing new. I mean, for, you know, as long as I can remember... you were punished if you questioned authority.
Yep.
I mean, that is a mental control, mind control system that we've all been under. Our parents were under that. Our grandparents were under that. You know, that's a plan. That's part of the agenda, is to dumb people down where they can't think critically, and also they don't dare question authority.
One of the politicians actually said that, okay, what if climate change is not real? All right, that what's the problem with trying to clean up the planet? So basically, it's like I don't know what the phrase that I need, but even if it ain't true, we should do something about it. But in the process of it, it's like, well, even while you're talking about, you know, just climate change in general, people have that little thing in the background where, oh, well, the climate changes all the time, so you can't deny climate change, otherwise you don't know science or whatever. But you got people who are almost like apologists for the whole lie to begin with. When they're lying to you, they're lying to you flat out, and they're stealing from people with this lie, and using another lie, such as the majority of the scientists say. Well, when you go back and look at the true facts of everything, you find out that most of these folks that are on the supposed majority of the scientist list aren't even scientists at all. They just agree with the ones that said it. And so,
well, that's very true. And they have done, they have found out in a certain, investigations that some of these persons who claim these things have been paid to say certain things. You know, I mean, I guess you'd have to say, we can't be so ignorant and innocent and gullible to believe that all peoples in high places, peoples who have come into authority positions, are there for their own gain and for the gain of their club, for the gain of their own people. And that doesn't include me. It doesn't include you. I'm not saying fully across the board, but a great percentage, a great majority. And there have been, of course, persons who have said, when you get in a position, if you start out in a good way, you're a good person, let's say, and you do want to make a difference, once you get into that system, once you step through that door into that system, basically that's when the men in the black suits and the briefcases walk into your office and say, okay, you've got this far, you're in this position, and now you're going to listen to us. Now you're going to do what we say.
Yeah.
You know? And they make sure that they have the control of those persons for their agenda, because behind all governments, behind all society systems, basically, and you want to talk about the financial system, the education system, the political system, the religious system, are high up mucky mucks who have complete control over that system for their own good old boys club.
Well, they want to take critical thinking and common sense out of everything. Because if you don't question even the pastor of your own church, if you don't question your government, if you don't question your teachers, then you're a perfect worker, you know.
Well, thinking of that, so I was thinking the other day, as I often do, I go out and I sit down and I have a conversation with myself. And if anybody was listening, they'd think that I was crazy. But I do. I have conversations out loud, and I have, you know, various other information coming through or responses. It's sort of like clarifies things to hear certain perspectives that I'm giving or seeking, right? So I'm thinking about salvation. I'm thinking, let me go forward here a little bit, because I'm thinking about salvation. What does salvation mean? You know, and in our understanding of salvation, it is, well, you will be, you know, saved from sin, from what's going to happen to you. If you were a sinner, you seek salvation, and along those lines. And many people, I got to thinking along this line about how people are reliant upon others, and Jesus being one of them, that people are completely reliant on Jesus to save them, to bring them into salvation, keep them safe from the fires of hell. Okay, and be taken up to the pearly gates and enter into heaven. So I'm thinking along these lines, and I'm thinking, but wait a second. Did Jesus ever say, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, did Jesus ever say, worship me? I don't think he did. Did Jesus ever say, listen to those people who build these monumental churches filled with gold, who wear dresses, who wear a lot of gold jewelry around them on their bodies, and also wear these hats that look like fishes, look like a fish? Did Jesus ever say, go to those monumental churches where these people claim that if you give me money and you enter into my church, you will be saved? You will go to heaven? You'll receive salvation? Did Jesus ever say that? No, not to my knowledge. Correct me if I'm wrong. So what I'm looking at is people's reliance on Jesus on the religions, organized religions, for their salvation, and they are not listening, in my estimation, to what Jesus said that will bring them, if you want to use the term, salvation, or into heaven, or at least inner peace, okay? I'm not one to particularly believe in heaven, but I'm just talking to the people who believe these things, I guess. So they're not listening to what Jesus really said. Didn't he say, do as I do? Didn't he say, you too can create miracles like me? You know, didn't he say, I am the way? You know? Now, I don't think he meant, I am the way. He didn't say, worship me, I'm the way. I think what he meant was, what I am saying to you, love thy neighbor as thyself. Do not kill anybody. Don't rape. Don't violate. Don't be, you know, whatever. Be a good, loving, compassionate person. And you too can create miracles, and you will find your way to whatever, heaven, salvation, or inner peace. So, yes, I'm saying, so what? So, yes, he turned over the money tables in the temple. Well, we should all be turning the money tables over in our system.
Yeah.
We should. I'm just saying, I was looking at this piece about the salvation because I think all these people are saying, well, Jesus is my man, and everything's going to be all right. And then you see them hating people. Or then you see these preachers or these evangelists or whomever talking that hate and vitriol about other people's. And yet they're saying, God, God is my man, or Jesus is my man. So something is very mixed up and confused here, is all I'm saying.
Well, it seems like every single possible what could have been good got distorted along the way. But that's another part of the whole game. That these people at the top know how to manipulate people. I'm really seriously against hypocrisy. I'm not going to tell somebody like when I was a police officer, I'm gonna pull you over and give you a ticket, and then when I get off of work, I'm gonna get in my own vehicle and I'm gonna go speeding down the road. See, that's hypocrisy. Justice ain't balanced out across the deal. I'm not at peace because, I believe in justice. Well, these people out there, they know how to stir the pot, you know, and then they get these officers out there that believe themselves to be special because they're wearing a uniform, when the whole concept to begin with was that they were actually there to be servants to each other. And that's what Jesus was trying to tell everybody, that you're to be a servant to your brothers and sisters out there. You're to help each other out. They're to help you. You're there to take care of each other. You're caretakers. And instead...
Well, you can claim that Jesus is your man, and you can act like a jerk and do vile things, and you think you're going to be all right.
But that's not the way it's supposed to be, though. That's not.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I'm just pointing this out, that this something's wrong with this picture
here. It's like tithing at church. Tithing at church is one of the things that really gets under my skin, because tithing isn't just about giving money out of your, whatever you earn. 10% of your earnings goes to the church every deal, and they call that tithing. Well, tithing is there's a whole lot more to that. It's like, I go out, I see somebody in need, and they need a shirt, and I got an extra shirt, I give them a shirt. You know, I'll give them the shirt off my back if I have to. That's tithing. Anytime you go out there and help your community out, when you're helping God's people, then you're tithing. And so, it's got distorted to where now you have these doggone mega churches that have copyrighted music that they're making money hand over fist and putting on a floor show, and it has absolutely nothing to do with the teachings of Jesus Christ. So,
well, it's like, so here's, let's move off of Jesus, Yeshua, and look at the peacekeeper. So what I'm pointing out here is, Yeshua, Jesus, is not the only one who brought the same words, the same teaching. And over and over again, it is the same teaching. So, Viracocha came into South America, into Peru, basically spoke the same words that Yeshua did, came long before Yeshua. Long before Yeshua appeared, the peacemaker came here to Turtle Island, brought the same words, same exact words. We have the feathered serpent. The Quetzalcoatl said the same teachings. We have the white buffalo calf woman who came here, said the same teachings, you know, and she spoke something differently. Of course, Yeshua was, well, also, I think, spoke about the respect of women and was actually walked with women, supposedly, you know, was in that arena of including women as significant and to be respectful. So I'm looking at these people who are glommed onto this present organized religions, and you have our own government saying we go to war for, you know, go to war for God and country. So my question is, can people actually, can they claim that Jesus said, go to this church that wants money, where men stand up there in dresses and fancy duds and whatever, and
no, he didn't. He said that any time two or more come together in my name, there shall I be also. And
that's correct.
So anywhere.
Well, that he's, I'm playing the devil's advocate here,
but
because this to me is way askew and really messed up.
That's what.
And they're missing the whole teaching. They're missing the whole point.
That's what the whole entire game is out there, as far as the information war that's being perpetrated on the people out there to keep the Trump supporters against the non-Trump supporters and vice versa, you know, the red, blue team and all that kind of jazz. And even to the extent where you got politicians saying ridiculous things that, you know, the average Joe would be mocked and ridiculed for. You've got supposed representatives that don't even seem like they even got a high school education, don't even know how in the heck they could have ever even got elected outside of election fraud, saying all kinds of things and being allowed to say it without any kind of, you know, retribution or whatever. They get by with saying this, but I honestly believe that it is an intentional make people mad because the hypocrisy that's going on. People out there getting beat up for a red hat and called everything under the sun, from Nazis to racist and so on. And it's allowed. It's allowed because it has to bring order out of chaos. You got to break this system down. You got to make everyone fight each other. You got to make them hate each other. You got to make them despise their spiritual beliefs. Take every bit of goodness out of the equation. Make people angry enough to do things that they otherwise would not have done if this wasn't going on. So the whole entire thing to me is a deliberate attack on anything that has any kind of the family, you know, what would have been a good church or even any kind of good organization out there, whether it be the Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, or, you know, government, you know, political deals where they're actually trying to do something good. You see what I'm getting at here? Even in the representation of the Congress and the Senate, you've got a couple good people sitting in there that got there because they think that they were going to try to make some positive change.
They can't do anything.
There
I'm
you go.
You. The thing is, you have these organized religions that are organizing people how to pray, organizing people's minds, organizing their behavior. This is wrong. And, you know, yes, and basically Jimmes says, the message, the central message was, treat others as you would want to be treated. And there's a key piece right there, love thy neighbor as thyself. But you have these people screaming in the churches and from the pulpit about hatred of others who have a, you know, a right or a preference or whatever. I mean, you have across the board these organized religions and persons who claim to be Christians pushing hate and visuals and violence. This is this is what I'm looking at, is talk about crazy, and this is a ramping up deliberate to me.
But even when they're not, even when they're on the up and up, just standing out there, you know, exercising their own freedom of religion, they're still being persecuted because it's like you know, in everything, if one person does something wrong, then everybody, you know, is suspected of doing something wrong. It used to be innocent until proven guilty here in this United States.
Well, not all Christians are like that. I'm just saying, but the point I'm trying to make is the missing piece where people are so enamored of Jesus or Christian or God or whatever, or their church, and they're not living the way that I feel that Yeshua and all these other teachers who came were advising us. And they're using money and they're using control of people's lives, basically, to manipulate populations. And Grizz says, and he's, I believe this too, on one level, I believe religions are mere cults created by man to help control the masses. It's not like spirituality. And spirituality to me is different. Spirituality, I'm a person, I say I'm a spiritual person. I'm not a religious person. I believe in a greater being and a great spirit creator. And of course, my church is the mother out there at my door. That's where my church is. That's the greatest, most grand, awesome cathedral you could ever experience. He says that maybe religions are a stepping stone to spirituality, but not the cure. I don't think that religions are stepping stones to spirituality in the way I understand spirituality. Spirituality is that you are one-on-one with your creator. Nobody's telling you this is how you have to pray. You know, in our native way, in our indigenous culture, we have our ceremonies, but nobody stands there at the door and says, give me money, or they shouldn't be anyway. And if anybody is standing there at the door and say you have to pay to go into this ceremony, turn around and walk away.
Well, I don't subscribe to those or any denomination either. Even though I call myself a Christian, I'm not even remotely religious because Jesus didn't come down here to start no religion. You know, he wasn't even a Christian.
Saying. He didn't say build a church in my name, and he didn't say pay. Well, you know, you got to pay to get to heaven, or you have to pay.
But the thing is, the system out there has used everything from every single aspect of life, every possible subject, including people's sexual orientation, the color of their skin, in order to get us to fight and debate over what, you know, if I'm not bothering nobody, if I'm not doing any harm, if I'm following natural law, and I'm being good to people, and what all these messengers said mentioned to everybody in every culture out there, that you know, you treat others the way you want to treat, then I should be able to do what I'm wanting to do without harming anybody. If I'm just living my life and trying to be a good person, then I should be able to be left alone. But because the system has been so twisted, just a mere mention of me being a Christian brings out the woodworks of people who immediately take it down the road of maybe Catholicism. Catholics are Christians. They're not. They study a different way than a true Christian would. And even to the extent of all the different denominations, you've got Baptist and Southern Baptist and Pentecostal and all these different denominations out there who disagree on certain aspects of what the book said, and instead of, you know, following the teachings of Christ but calling yourself a Christian, you're actually segregating yourself from your brothers and sisters with a label that was put on that church. It has absolutely nothing to do with what Jesus was talking about. So I don't have a denomination. I don't call myself a Baptist or a Pentecostal or any of these other names on there. Just flat out, because I follow the teachings of Christ and try to be Christ-like, I can't never be Him, obviously, but because I want to try to walk that spiritual path, and I believe that I should treat people right. I believe I should be respectful to women and my mother and my father, and do good things and help the poor out, and, you know, be a good caretaker. That's why I call myself a Christian. Now, as far as the religion aspect, that has become a dirty word out there, and everybody automatically goes right straight to that word, right straight to a lot of the hypocrisy throughout the world, like they were burning people and calling them witches. If you survived, then you were a witch. If you died, then you were innocent. And it didn't make no sense. I would have never subscribed to that. And when they talk about the Crusades, where you got a king sending, or even the Pope sending an army of people to go down there and kill people because they don't believe the way you do it, that's not what Jesus said to do.
Yes, I know all that. Now, and James says, pretty sure he wore a dress himself too. Now, he's talking about my statement of the men in dresses. Today, the priests who wear dresses. Yes, Yeshua wore a long toga or whatever, because that was the all men did in those days.
It was more like a robe.
Well, exactly. But what I'm saying is that today, why I refer to these men in dresses in the church, because they're men in dresses, and not your average man doesn't. You know, today go around. That's not. Let's say that's not the fashion today. But no, and he didn't wear an Armani suit for sure. But I have to say that the priest today could afford an Armani suit because they're so rich, they're so wealthy. The church, the organized religions, are the wealthiest corporations. I call them corporations. The controlling corporation, the organized religion,
and they actually have.
Says, yeah, they're like cults.
They actually have a lot of political power, and
a lot.
There's supposed to be a separation between church and state. I get all that. All right. Well, even though that's not actually in the Constitution, but nonetheless, it's separation of powers. You're not supposed to mix the two, but they're always mixed because they got things like the 501(c) tax exempt status, where the government gives a little set of rules that you're not supposed to talk about this or that or whatever, and for that we won't charge you any taxes on your donations that are coming in. And so they got this tax exempt thing between them. Now, you as the average Joe, you're not getting that. However, you can go to church, and if it's under 501(c) tax exempt status and you put money in the pot for a donation, they're supposed to, by law, if you ask, give you a piece of paper as a receipt that you can then in turn deduct that from your taxes. And so that messes the whole deal up. You mentioned earlier about Jesus turning over the tables of the money takers, and that was because they claimed that this was a house of God. And yet they were in there collecting taxes. And so he turned the table over. And when the man from the crowd said, Jesus, should we pay our taxes? And Jesus said, whose face is on that coin? Well, when the man replied, why Caesar's? He said, well, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and render unto the Lord what is the Lord's. And that was basically the first separation of church and state. You don't claim that this is a house of God and then go in there and start collecting money. You see what I mean? It's like if I give the shirt off my back to somebody, and then I go ask for Caesar, I say, hey, Caesar, I give my shirt to this person over here. Can you give me another shirt? I didn't give nothing. There was no sacrifice on my part. There was no giving without expectation of me giving something and getting something in return. You see what I'm saying? And that's where the line changes between what I believe true Christianity to be and the modern day churches. So that's where I stand on it. And that's why I call myself a Christian, because Jesus, if he would have gave a shirt to somebody, he wouldn't have said somebody, hey, you got to give me a shirt. I give him a shirt. You know, that's not a sacrifice if you done gave somebody something and expecting something in return. And you were actually supposed to, when you prayed, do it in secret. You weren't supposed to be out there doing it for the glory. He also mentioned that if you did that, that you got rewarded. So if you go to heaven, you're not going to get rewarded for what you did down there, because you already got your glorification from your brothers and sisters because you did it for that attention. You see what I mean? There's a difference. But the difference, the line had been blurred throughout all this, everything from political to religious to you name it. It's all been blurred. What Paul Harvey?
That's why everybody's crazy.
Yep. What Paul Harvey said in 1965 was so entirely true. If you don't believe in that there's a devil out there, then you know that devil pretty much succeeded in his mission. The greatest deception that the devil ever made. Whether that's you want to call the devil just an evil entity or evil spirit or just evil in general, the greatest accomplishment that evil ever made was to convince the world that it did not exist. And if you're standing there and you're looking out at this world and you see people starving in this world, when we got an overabundance of resources to feed those people, you can't sit there and tell me that's not evil. If you would be on the other side of that fence and you were the one starving, wouldn't you want somebody else to try to help feed you? We're supposed to be taking care of one another. And it doesn't matter to me whether we came from what spirit or where we at. Even if we evolved from monkeys, it doesn't matter. As a human family, and having compassion in our hearts and love for one another, we could have such a wonderful world. But we can't have this wonderful world while we've got these dirty, whatever you want to call them, behind the scenes, supposedly our representation, constantly lying to us, manipulating us, propagandizing us, stealing from us, wanting to kill us, or even just flat out drive us crazy. Psychological operations of biblical proportions, or epic proportions if you don't like the biblical reference. I'm not politically correct. I want to say it either both sides. Whichever makes you most comfortable, that's the word you need to hear. But the reality is we're all in the same exact boat, and this boat is going down. It's going down with all hands on ship. It doesn't matter whether you're black, yellow, red, white, or whatever. When this ship sinks, outside of their arcs or their spaceships to get them off this rock, they don't care. You're just, like the guy said, cannon fodder. You know, you're out there to be shot at. It don't matter. You're expendable. You're the collateral damage in wartime. And they're making money. You're not the one making money. They're selling the guns. They're selling the drugs. They're selling the medicine. They're selling the food. Even the food that you partake as a military individual is making somebody a massive amount of money. They're making money off of the misery of every single woman, man, and child in this world, even the ones out there who have no part in the war, who are in third world countries who can't even get no doggone fresh water. All those resources focused in on death and destruction and distortion and lies and manipulation towards any kind of resolution that could help those people over there. That's why the whole thing doesn't make any sense, and it's plain and simple and easy to see why people would be going crazy, and the world is the way it is. But we could fix it. That's the whole thing. The good news is we could fix it.
The thing is, we can't fix people. You see, this is the whole point. We spend a lot of time getting frustrated and aggravated and beside ourselves and blah, 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 because people are not doing this or people are not doing that or people are doing this or doing that. The point is we have to really fix ourselves. You have to fix yourself, you know, because we're talking about the power that we do have, the vibrational frequency power that we have. When we are in that harmony, when we are loving, when we're compassionate, when we are kind, that is a power beyond our imagining, because that is a frequency, because we are beings of frequency and energy, as is all of creation, and we either corrupt that harmony and balance of the frequency creation and create negativity with our words, or we can just emanate that frequency of compassion and love, which touches everything, and then each individual has their own journey here. There are some people who may not wake. There are some people who are struggling to awake. There are some people that, you know, maybe are on a different level. But we cannot judge others and think that we can change them. They have their own, I guess they have their own course here. They're on their own journey here. They've made their own agreements. And if we spend I guess, say, expend a lot of energy getting frustrated or annoyed or angry at people or at the circumstances that we are clearly seeing or, you know, happening, we're losing our focus on the light within us, and we're getting sidetracked. And this is what they want. Of course, yeah. they want you to be off track. They want you to be annoyed. They want you to be angry. They want you to throw milkshakes at people and spit on other yep. people for their preferences of choice or whatever.
And they don't want you to know what you're really capable of doing. Jesus, look, I get it. People, whether they do or don't think Jesus is the Son of God, that's neither here nor there. But if you go listen to the words that he said, now, if he was the Son of God, all right, if he was the Son of God, then he can't lie. And if Jesus said to the people that all of these things that I do, you can do as well if you believe. Well, if you don't believe, you obviously can't, right? But never mind that fact, he said those words. He said if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could speak to that mountain and you could tell it to move. But if you have any kind of doubt in your mind whatsoever, there's no way that mountain's going to move. All right, but he told you you had these powers. He told you that, and nobody really took it literally. All right, I take it literally. I honestly believe if you really have that much faith that you could resolve these things. Now we can't change the hearts of anyone outside of the shining a light and them seeing how we act, and they can adopt that into their life if they so choose to do so because they have their own free will. But what we can do is put that whether you want to call it a frequency or a spoken word out there into the existence, just like what he said, speak to that mountain and it will move. And if you believe it's going to be possible, then it's going to be possible. You see what I'm trying to say here?
I'm just writing about Jesus. Yeah, and Jem says that Jesus himself was said to be a carpenter, not his father. And I said, no one really knows if he was a carpenter. Nobody really knows. Even some of the, you know, teachings say that, or what, you know, I guess nobody really knows. Nobody really knows if he was the Son of God. Nobody really knows anything. What I feel is the words that he brought were good. And they were something significant and important and make perfect sense to me. He's not the only one.
That's what I was trying to say. That's my whole deal. I can't prove or disprove God. Nobody can unless you are actually standing in the presence and you can get your digital camera out and take a video of it. You can't prove it. It's all faith. But if it's a spiritual journey that I choose to walk, then I gotta walk that path until I find out whether I'm wrong or whether I'm right. Nonetheless, they keep all of us against each other, having debates over whether or not there is or isn't a God to begin with, whether the earth is or isn't flat, whether there is or isn't a one world government conspiracy, and this is all by design in order to ensure that you can't never find out who and what you really are and how powerful you as an individual really are. I honestly believe that the capabilities of each and every human out here are well above what science says that you are capable of. I think that there are things like being able to communicate without ever even opening your mouth is possible. I've seen examples of it in real life.
Well, why I'm saying in the beginning of when I was talking about salvation is that people want to be saved from what they've been told is an eternity in hell, and people are looking to be saved. Now, here comes this story about Yeshua, okay? Was that real? We do not know, okay? Is what is written about what he said? We do not know. I'm leaning more towards that it was because of Viracocha saying the same thing, the peacemaker saying the same exact thing, the white buffalo calf woman saying the same exact thing, the feathered and Buddha, and so that's why I'm leaning towards, okay, this person appeared 2,000 years ago, okay, and and started to say these things and could create miracles, okay? Did he create miracles? I have no idea, really. But I do know that, for instance, there have been healings and amazing miracles with some of these other spiritual beings. I call them the spiritual being. I think they come down periodically. They're sent down. Who sent them? I don't know. People say, well, God sent his only begotten son. Okay, but then who's Viracocha? Who's the white buffalo calf? Because they brought the same message. So what's the message? I think the most important thing for us is the message is these beings brought to earth, not that person in particular. We don't worship the white buffalo calf woman, and we don't worship the peacemaker. We didn't build a church for the peacemaker. We didn't build a church for the white buffalo calf woman, okay? But we're listening to the words and the teachings. That's why they brought them.
Well, if you go and listen to all those teachings, all the different cultures out there, they all pretty much had the same exact common denominator, which was the fact that, you know, by yourself, you really can't do much. But when you become united with each other and become good caretakers of nature and the each other helping each other out.
Well, it's your home. It's not. It's just not nature. It's your home.
Yeah.
You got to take care of your house, your home, your food, your lint. Hello. That makes common sense, doesn't it?
Living in a glass house and throwing rocks. You know all these different phrases that you hear out there. You know, it's common sense.
People have missed the mark by claiming that Jesus is their man, or God is their man, or this church is my church, and they are the church of God. The people are missing the mark. It's really, what were the teachings? People are not living by these messages, by the teachings. It's a simple teaching, love thy neighbor as thyself. All right, take care of your home, the land. All right, be kind, be compassionate. All right, be a good person. Don't talk dark evil. Don't murder. Don't kill. Don't violate. That's a simple message. It wasn't build a monumental church in my name and wear gold and wear jewelry and pay for your sins and pay to get free, pay to stay out of hell. And this is what I'm talking about. It's a crazy. Talk about crazy. To me, this whole thing is so crazy.
Well,
who can really say there is a God? Who can really say there is a hell? Who can really say? But nobody's been there and come back and said, oh, by the way, the pearly gates were gorgeous, and there was a, you know, angel standing there and opened the gates, and there was God sitting on a throne with a white beard and a white, you know, gown and whatever dress. And I mean, this is what people believe. They believe this.
Yeah, but we gotta go back to where and why the people believe anything. It's like the whole controversy over the Bible itself, whether or not it was written by man, so it's questionable. I say that anything written by man is questionable.
I agree. You have to question authority, period. And I don't care who the authority is. You have to, here's what I feel. I grew up Catholic, and very early as a young girl, I felt very uncomfortable with certain things. Just my intuition and my sense of right from wrong, I felt something was not right, okay? And I learned very early at 10 years old that the whole thing was a big lie and a manipulation. Okay, now I'm not saying there weren't good people going to church and trying to be whatever good. I'm just saying that your relationship with your creator or an omniscience being or even a tree, that's your relationship. That's one-on-one. We are sovereign beings. We are spiritual beings. We have a spirit embodied within us. If you don't believe that, I don't care. It's whatever you want to believe is your thing. What I'm saying is don't believe in authorities that tell you this is what's going to happen to you or this is, you know, what you must believe in order to be saved. You know, it's our relationship with our own, with a force beyond ourselves, I guess. In other words, I'd say we have to look at this creation. You must be in awe, aren't you, of this creation?
Well, yeah, that's what I've been saying a long time. How could you not see a miracle when you look around and see what all's going on.
But and even scientists today are saying there was an intelligence at work here. That tells you something. Well, what was that intelligence? I don't know, but I do know that there was an intelligence because it's a miraculous, awesome creation. So there was an intelligence, okay, at work. I feel that because life is a miracle. Creation is a miracle. It is awesomely beautiful and stunning. And I think people are lost and sidetracked in a savior. Somebody's going to come and save me. Nobody's going to come and save you. It's between you and what you're going to do, how you're going to live your life.
I think we were all told that we are our own saviors to the extent of basically, if you want to just go down to the golden rules or, you know, natural law or even the Ten Commandments for that matter, you think about this thing for a second. When it says, thou shalt not kill, there's a real good reason why you shouldn't be out killing people. Number one, it's not a very nice thing to do. But number two is that when you kill somebody, they want to kill you. Somebody wants to kill you. And so it is a perpetual, if you want to call it a sin or a misdeed or whatever, don't matter. We just mince words and twist terminology, but you kill somebody, it's not like the old live by the sword, die by the sword. You know, you kill somebody, somebody's going to want to kill for you. If you steal from somebody, somebody's going to want to steal from you. If you go out there and you cheat on your wife, then your wife's going to cheat on you. And you can't have a peaceful life when you're running around doing rotten things to each other. And these folks that are supposedly the elitist of the world, the supposed representation of the world, the supposed religions of the world, who are saying that all these things are acceptable now. You can do what you want. You know, it's all right. You know, okay, we're going to go out there. We're going to kill these people over here because they're supposedly terrorists. In the process, we might accidentally kill some other people. We're going to call that collateral damage. And now, so that's your justification. You had to, under the guise of your patriotism, serve your country for God and country, go over there and destroy these people's lives and their homes and their world and their infrastructure, and then expect that these people over here are not going to dislike you. See, that's the whole game. To get you doing exactly what they want. Exactly what they want. And the power structures that are the doggone churches that are asking you for money and making you feel like dirt if you ain't got no money. I can't tell you how many times I've actually sat in a church when I was broke. I was so poor I couldn't pay attention. And I'm sitting there and they pass around a plate and I got nothing to put in there. Absolutely nothing. I ain't got no money to give them. And I felt bad.
Guilty.
Yeah.
And you felt guilty for not giving that wealthy church, those wealthy men in dresses, money.
They should have been giving me money. I needed food. I needed
to
take care of my family.
They should also still now be giving people money instead of shaking their finger at people.
But Barbara, through that whole entire deal, even the discomfort going around from church to church trying to find the right home, I still kept my faith throughout the entire deal, but not for the same reasons that everybody out there, the standard people, thought. Because whether you want to call Jesus a messenger or a fairy tale or just a moral story, I listened to the words and they resonated with me. That frequency, those words that talked about treating people decent resonated with me, and I said, that's a leader I can follow right there. All right, that's the type of lifestyle that I could live with, because you go out there, you're helping each other out. He washed the feet of a prostitute for Pete's sake.
There must be something about those words that man spoke, because they came through in different timelines throughout history.
Yep.
On this world, the same exact teachings. There must be something important about those words. It's simple, it's clear. There must be something so significant about those words that over millennia and different timelines, other persons or whatever's, White Buffalo Calf Woman, the Peacemaker, and so on and so forth, Buddha, came and brought the same words. So, it's not about building a monumental church and paying money to people to get salvation. It's living according to those words, if you want. If you want, if you choose.
So, bringing this all back around full circle, there's a force out there that wants us to be crazy. There's a force out there that wants us to be sick or even dying or whatever. There's a force out there that really wants to get rid of us. And why? What is so significant about me that I would be intimidating to any government, which is way more powerful and financially able to destroy me?
It's not the government. You see, you're saying it's the government. Well, the government is threatened by you. No, it's that force. What is that? See, to me, I feel like thinking on this, I'm thinking, okay, they, in quotes, are destroying the beauty, the water, everything about this sacred creation, even children and humans and so on. They're destroying this. I'm thinking, well, who on earth would want to destroy something so miraculous, so sacred, so awesome? Who would fear us so much, and what is it about us?
And who is the notorious they? That's it. Who are they? That's what I want to know.
Well, to me, it's it, or it is it.
Yeah.
Let's say the they are the ones. Let's go down the hierarchical list. You have a top something, the very tippy top, controlling all that is harmful, inciting hate, inciting violence, inciting corruptness, inciting poisons. Put this poison on this food. Create this poison to kill people. Put this poison in the water, in the air. There's the something at the very tippy top directing all this crazy, this madness, this evil. And then there are people who have participated in that, who step into that and agree to participate in that. They agree to sit down at a think tank table and decide, how are we going to...
I think Redemptive just hit the nail right on the head.
Yeah.
He said, it's some people like you and me, Shazaz. That's right.
Well, he says, we are the treasure.
Yeah.
And he's absolutely right, and that's where I was going. Who and why would they be so afraid of us? Yes, because we are the treasure, because of the capacity and the ability that we have, that basically Yeshua did tell us we had, if we chose or we could, and the White Buffalo Calf, and all these teachers that came and told us the same thing, that we basically have the power, and we are the light. If we choose to be the light, we can choose, we can manifest and shift and change things according to the frequency and the energies, our words, our thoughts, our acts. We have a power beyond our comprehension that they have basically dumbed out of us and are fearful of that. They are fearful of that. I guess you'd say, well, if you are the light, if you have the light within you and you choose the light, what does that mean, choose the light? It means to be, loving, kind, compassionate, and so on. That builds that frequency of that light. The opposite of that is hatred, vitriol, judgments, jealousies. All that is the darker, lower frequencies. Who needs the darker, lower frequencies? Who eats off of that? Who does that feed? What does that feed? I think we know.
Those out there that really seriously believe that, they like the feeling of doing something rotten. There's people out there that honestly love being bad. They love being rotten. They love because... When you're a big bad bully in school, you can get to do whatever you want without no repercussions because nobody's bigger than you, nobody's badder than you.
Well, to me, those people are deeply, deeply,
disturbed? Troubled?
Well, they are disturbed, but they're not happy inside themselves. I'm sorry.
Well,
they may act like they're happy because they're hurting someone. They may laugh, but inside themselves... I'm sorry, those people are not joyous, at peace people. They're not in peace. Well, they think they're getting something. They feel elated. It's like a temporary fix to crush something, to harm something. it's a temporary fix, but inside that person, those persons, they are, it's a dark place. They are not experiencing inner peace. That's my estimation.
Well, I believe it. I believe it. And, you know, that's why I'm really kind of, when I look out there and I see the things that people do to each other, I've seen some terrible things in my life, folks. I've seen things, like I've mentioned so many times before, that no man or woman should ever have to lay eyes on. And that's not something you can just erase out of your mind. I mean, to think that there would be that kind of darkness in the world that would do some of the things.
I want to talk to that. I want to just talk to that. That's very interesting what you just said. Listen to this now. If there is a dark agenda that wants us to be continually anxious, continually depressed, continually in despair and hopelessness, they will imprint something in your mind, like what you say you saw, what you say you experienced. They will imprint that into your mind, into your memory, into your cellular experience, so that it keeps replaying,
yep,
to keep you in that despair. You have to disengage from that, and you can. You must extricate yourself from those imprints, because they are put in deliberately so you keep replaying this despair, this angst, this rage, this violence. This is the purpose of
that. Well, somehow or another, I have found the strength in my spirit to use that to move forward to trying to use what I believe the power of the spoken word is to put a positive message out there to try to uplift spirits, to try to uplift people.
And well, listen, so you have word. Word is power. When something comes in my mind that is an imprint, a cellular imprint, a memory imprint that is not a good thing, that was not a good thing, that created, you know, despair within me when I experienced, or despair or hopelessness, immediately what I say is, that's not mine. And it goes away, poof, just like that. That's not mine. Poof, it goes away.
Well,
you see, our words are powerful.
So basically, what you're saying is being able to clean house in your own heart and mind. And I get that.
Because you have to look at why these things keep coming back into your mind. Like you said, this memory or this experience that was so dark and so despairing, and it comes back at you. Okay, that's deliberately done, so you have to take charge, and your word is powerful, and so you don't accept it, don't believe in it. See, we believe in it because we experience, so now you have to shift and say, that's not mine.
Well, if I was to lay down to that evil, I would be such a mess right now. I'd be a sniveling mess laying in the fetal position in the floor, because I'm telling you, I'm grateful.
I know, I get it. I've been there. We've talked about that, what we've experienced. And like I said, I've identified the fact that these things keep periodically coming back in, drifting back into your mind. And if you allow it, it will just drop you down into despair again and overwhelm us. So now you have to stand up, and you have to become that spiritual warrior, and you have to blatantly outright say, that's not mine. As soon as you feel that drift of that experience, memory coming back into you, immediately you have to say, that's not mine.
Yeah.
Because it isn't yours.
Well, I'm trying to find the right words to say, but basically, I'm not going to bow down to any darkness. There's no way I'm going to do it. And when those thoughts come in my mind, it just makes me more... I'm trying to find the right word to say.
I know what you mean, but I'm saying...
It gets me motivated more to going out trying to do better things and good things. I don't allow it to put me down to the extent where it makes me weak. And I know that's the purpose for all the things that I've seen, was to take the spirit out of me, take the wind out of my sails, so to speak. You've seen
it.
We
go forward with love, you see. We don't go forward with anger or resentment. We go forward with love. This is the most powerful energy to basically, you know, put away, shove away, get away, prevent that which you say you will not bow down to. I don't even identify that. I just say, you know, I go forward basically with the frequency of love. That's not mine, and I am filled in that moment with that energy of love, because I know who I am. See, I know who I am. All right,
yep.
I know who I am, and what that other is not who I am. So I don't feed it. I don't give it an energy. I don't allow it to make me frustrated or angry or react with anger or whatever it is. I know who I am.
Well, the book said that we don't fight against flesh and blood. And I believe that, because there are entities in this world that are just flat out evil, dark. And you can see that when you look and see how large populations of people treat each other. I mean, there's no goodness in the things that come out of their mouth, and they use their words in a way to inflict harm. The things that they call each other, when somebody calls you a racist, that's a derogatory term that is meant to degrade you, because you must be a bad person because you think you've got to get this wall built or whatever. All right? Well, no, it's because somebody has sat there for years and said that we're being inundated with drugs and criminals, and anybody and his brother can just walk across the dang fence and basically destroy our way of life. And so they're the ones that put this message out there. All right? And so the ones that decide, okay, well, let's go ahead and build this wall then. Let's support this wall. Well, now suddenly, because you support that wall, and because we should all be brothers and sisters and be able to immigrate across international boundaries and go anywhere we want and live free and happily ever after, but these folks had constantly told you of the dangers of these people coming across here, bringing diseases and drugs and all this, and now that's what's happening. You're a racist because you don't want these people coming across there, but they're the same people that told the story of the people coming to kill us are the same people who are putting out the so-called solution, and they're the saviors, they're the salvation. And we're sitting here, we are taking our words and we're getting violent with our words, painful words. The things that they say to each other at these protests are terrible. Now, if they were in their normal life and everything was going right and everything, would they be using those same words to describe people?
Well, the question is, what is normal life? You know, this is always, I have to ask this, what is normal life? We don't even know what normal life is, frankly.
Well, how could we?
I just feel that this is I have to go to this. I feel that this is an extraordinary time that we are participating in here, and I think we are all... we're all present. The question is, how are we participating, you see? And what do we know of ourselves? Who are we really, truly? You know, what do you believe? What were you told to believe about yourself? But what is really true about you? You have to know that first. It's sort of like, to me, this is an awesome time that we are here, and prophecies are unfolding left and right. And then again, I have to say, prophecies are not written in stone. They're give you an opportunity, basically, to change so that these things don't happen. But we do see the unfoldment of many prophecies. But still in all, it's how you participate in this experience that we're in that is key. It's what you're going to experience. You create your own reality. If you say, well, I don't feel peace and I feel unhappy and I'm miserable, well, you have to look at, what are you glomming onto? What do you believe then? What are you taking on from others that is not really who you are? It's like what we believe in, and we manifest and we create. And so to me, this is that time of an amazing time of an opportunity to either, you know, learn to be a better person and empower ourselves with what we are truly given, to know ourselves, who we really truly are. And you can have peace, you can experience peace. And no matter what's going on around you, if you have that strength and that connectedness to a source, I'm not going to tell you what that source is. I have my own way. Something far greater than me, you know, then I have that foundation. And no matter what happens, you know, I find that through the Chinupa, the sacred pipe, in the way of our people, in that tradition and that ceremony, is an unknown power. And the words that came along with that sacred pipe, by the way, the white buffalo calf woman brought to our people, are the same as Yeshua spoke. And so if I have that foundation, that's my strength, that's my connectedness, that's my source, and that is like a shield.
The question is that how many people actually got the message? If somebody tells you, if you go down this particular road, there's a dog at the end of this road, and you're going to get bit. All right, this is written in stone. You will get bit if you go down this road, and if you don't listen to that message and you go down that road, chances are you're going to get bit. But there are things that you could actually do to go down that road. Maybe you ain't going to get bit. You see what I'm saying? All these prophecies, I don't believe are written in stone, even when it comes to the book of Revelations and the how everything's supposed to play out. Because of the words that Jesus spoke, the message, I got the message. I understand we have capabilities that if we ever decided to get right with whatever our Creator is, or the source of where we came from, and start doing things the right way. I mean, look at this. You mentioned earlier about somebody talking about chopping down all these trees and they should be planting trees and all that kind of stuff. That is a proactive kind of thing that you can do to assist the environment.
I said that people think the solution to this global mess is to plant more trees. I said they should be preventing the corporations from chopping down the trees.
Well, that would be not the simple solution. Yeah, I agree.
But there's big money involved here. You see, this is the whole point. Global warming, global mess, climate change, whatever it is, polluting up the planet is big money. It's big money. Big corporation, big money. And political people are involved because they get the lobbyists from corporations come in and they pay off these politicians to set up, you know, certain laws, incoming laws, for their own benefit.
It's funny how the system doesn't believe in God or a creator, but the doggone insurance companies have an act of God clause. Like if I'm driving down the road,
oh, yeah, it's an act of God.
And then a wind blows a tree over and smashes my car flat. Well, it's an act of God, so they're not going to pay for my...
You're not going to get paid.
Yeah!
God put up a big forceful wind and all the houses were destroyed, but sorry, God did it.
Yeah, God did it, so I'm not responsible.
God is either absent or present in a lot of people's lives. God, where is God? Why did God let this happen? Or wait, God did this and God let this happen. It's like, oh boy.
Well, if we didn't have free will, then yeah, maybe you could blame it on them. But in the meantime, since we actually have a choice and we were given this beautiful earth that we're standing on, if anybody in this world is starving to death, if anybody's responsible, then technically we're all responsible if somebody's starving, if we have the capability of doing something about it. It could be something as simple as gathering enough people to go lobby a Congress that would be able to have the funding to go over there and actually feed these people. Look, you need to resolve this. This is what we taxpayers want. We want you to go over there. We want you to hand directly these people food so that you know they get them. Nobody could steal it from them. Feed these people and resolve that problem. But that's not the power that we use. We don't do that. We'll get out and complain about it, and we'll talk about it, but we don't use that power in a proactive way in order to ensure that that problem's actually resolved. We don't want our brothers and sisters going to war, and we're not vocal enough about it when it does. We're told that we have to be patriots and we have to support our country, and if you don't support going over there destroying somebody else's home, then you're not American, you're not patriotic, and that's not what the true heart of Americans really is. I know that there's everybody that's out there in the military right now. There might be some that really into it for the video game aspect of it. You know, the first person shooter excitement and all this kind of stuff. But there are, the majority of the people out there, I believe, are good people who think that they're doing something good and then end up destroying their own spiritual life or their minds by all the atrocities that they witness in the process of trying to, you know, be a patriot, trying to take care of their country. I get it. And, you know, I come from a long, long line of military people who's been in all kinds of different conflicts around this world. Everything from Korean War to Vietnam to World War One and World War Two, and even, you know, up into the modern day where there wasn't actual wartime, but there were still things that happened. I know why all my grandfathers, my uncles, and everybody served this nation, and I'm proud of them for doing that. And I know how a lot of them were treated when they came back from these things. These folks, they didn't want to go over and hurt anyone. They didn't do it for pleasure. They did it because they believed that they were fighting for freedom and justice in the American way. Whatever.
Well, I want to have my say on this. I know how you feel about that. And to me, I have a little problem with this. My dad was in World War II, and he was lucky to have made it, actually. Made it back home. Very damaged, as we know. These wars destroy people's minds and their lives. It doesn't end when you come back home. I don't believe these wars ever should have been. I believe truly that these wars were manipulated and part of an agenda by the elite and the cabal for their own pockets.
I agree.
So for our people, my dad, your dad, our sons, daughters, brothers, sisters, to go to war for these people, I'm sick and tired of it. And for these people to tout this patriotism that we go to war and this was the great war and this was a just war and blah, blah, blah. It really... really irks me. You have people all over the world who have sent their sons and daughters to fight for these elite people's wars that they don't send their sons and daughters to. It's only us, the little folks.
Yeah.
Right? It's like the kings and queens still exist, and we are the serfs still doing the dirty work for the elite, the kings and queens. Nothing has changed. It's
and that's why I'm trying to lobby the people to stop. To stop it. Just
well,
stop
I,
it.
Well, I have to say, I was proud of my dad, but not proud that he went to war. Because it destroyed him. And I think I'm not proud of these wars. I'm not proud that all these people, all these innocent people, went to war for these elite people who don't give a crap about your dad or my dad.
That's it.
Or anybody across the world's child or whatever. This is what makes me sick. And people are waving the flags. And, you know, all this stuff is just drives me crazy.
It,
I don't know.
It was the lie that was told to every child that, you know, about freedom. And we live in a free country. And we got to preserve our freedom and protect our friends and our family and all this kind of stuff. And in reality, behind the scenes, we were never free. Even after, you know, a lot of terrible atrocities, which we even did to each other during the Civil War. The brothers and sisters, cousins fighting against each other. These weren't our ideas to go out there and hurt each other. They were the lies and manipulated that was behind all of what was going on. It was all an intentional deal. But through all that, to keep the control, all that time, we were told about what you mentioned earlier about God and country. Oh, do it for God and country. All right. Well, I love my God. I believe that we've been given something really amazing. But if my God ever told me to go out and kill anyone, it wouldn't be my God anymore. That's not my spirit. That's not my heart.
That's what the government says.
I was told, thou shalt not.
God and country.
Yep.
It's the overall, across the board, the system that is controlling people's lives, whether it be political, religious, financial, or education. People's lives are being controlled and manipulated. There is no critical thinking. People have lost their ability to think critically, to question authority, to do research, to investigate. They are just puppets running amok.
Well, I'm stumbling on the words. If we can't understand why people are going crazy after everything that we just mentioned, it's an intentional. It's flat out intentional. They want us to go crazy. Because when we go crazy, when we get depressed and disoriented and angry, we forget about what we are capable of doing. And you can't focus your inner chi or your energy or your frequency. You can't focus that when you're disoriented and angry.
That's the whole point. That's the plan.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the whole game in a nutshell. They got to keep you at each other in order for them to make money. War is profitable. There are actual politicians who said that war is profitable. They get us out of a Great Depression by what? Taking us to war. Because
industry and weapons and food,
everything.
Well, again, I say it's easy to send someone else's children to get slaughtered or for that child to slaughter someone else's children. It's easy to do that, and you don't care about them. You act like you do, of course. You give them medals, and you salute them, and you put a flag over them when they come home, their coffin, or you give the flag to their mother or their family. You fold up that flag really pretty, and it's nice. It's like a triangle. Interesting, right? Yeah, that formation of the flag that it's folded when you're handed that. There's a signal right there, that particular sign, pyramidal shape. There's all these symbols, you know, that are meaningful to them, not to us. We think they are meaningful, but no, they do all the good, nice, goody-goody, nice things, and in the background they're just raking in the money and laughing at the serfs and the stupid people that are doing their bidding all across the board. Just today, as today, you have people spitting and pushing somebody who has a different preference of whatever. You know, you could say, I like tomatoes, and they could say, well, I like potatoes, and punch you in the face. You know, this is the level where people have gotten. They're being so manipulated to... And these people, some of these people I know are they're good people, but they are thoroughly confused and thoroughly being manipulated, and all they do is spew out what they have seen on mainstream media. They don't think for themselves. They have no thought. They have no perspective. They have nothing to say of their own sense or their own feelings. They just spew the rhetoric out that the mainstream media is feeding them, and they think they're intelligent.
Well, and that's why I get so riled up whenever I hear people. Look, I don't care whether you like Trump or not. That's not the issue. But if you're getting just completely irate and foul over it, you got to calm down for a second and think. Why is it? Why is it that you're getting so frustrated about a man who probably doesn't even have any power? He's just like up there for the movie show, the dog and pony show. He probably don't even have any power. But that one man can get you into an uproar to the extent where you'll start cussing your fellow brothers and sisters out and telling them how stupid they are. How is that ever going to fix anything in this world? Well, if we can't even recognize the actors on the stage, that we're going to sit there and fight over these actors on the stage, do you realize that they're in the World Wide Wrestling Federation? These folks go out there and they do things that defy the laws of physics. They jump off the top ropes on the middle of somebody's spine, and that person can actually get up and do the same thing back to them after what would have been a devastating injury. But this is, it's all a show. And then people actually get to the point where they believe it's true. And if you look out there and you see what's going on with all these different things like Hillary, when's Hillary going to go to jail for her crimes or whatever? She ain't never going to go to jail. Trump ain't never going to go to jail. You're not going to get anything that the doggone reality TV show that you're watching doesn't want you to have. The storyline isn't written by you. It's written by them. And that's to flat out get you to hate people. Hate people because of a color of a hat, for Pete's sake. You know, it used to be hate people because of the color of their skin. Then we supposedly got over that. And we still, they give you so many reasons why to hate people, why to degrade people, to take the power of your words and tear somebody's spirit apart. They got us actually believing that this whole world is so bad that there is absolutely nothing, nothing we can do to fix it. And so I'm asking the question, If this is all this is, and is there any hope? Is there anything that we can do? What is our strength? What is it that we can do to start steering this world into a direction to where we want to go to live in peace? What solution do we have? What resolution? Or is all hope lost and we're just into the doom and gloom? Are we going to be able to fix this? I believe we can. I believe we have the power to do so. I believe we have to choose that power. And that's the way I'm going to believe until it's over, until there's nothing else that can be done or said, until the last body falls, so to speak. I'm going to hold out hope that there's still a way to resolve this. And I believe that the first step to resolving it is by us being able to communicate respectfully with each other. We can bring several different cultures to this table right here. And even though we don't always agree on different things because of differences of beliefs and stuff, we can sit there and respectfully have a conversation, not get angry because somebody is not conforming to our way of thinking. We want to get to the truth. None of us can honestly tell anyone that we know the truth about anything. Even the entire history of our world, we don't know the truth about it. We don't know who wrote the story. What we do know is what we can see going on right now, and if it doesn't make sense, if it seems wrong, there's a good chance it is wrong, and we have to find a resolution because we're watching these things unfold before our very eyes as our brothers and sisters around the world are tearing each other apart. Nations tearing each other apart. Civil wars everywhere. The wars, the rumors of wars, the plagues, the famine, the pestilence. There was a book that said that. Paul Harvey talked about it in 1965. There were other cultures that talked about great cataclysms in the world. So maybe there's something to it. But if nobody listens to the message, then what's the point? What's the point of us even trying to have this round table and trying to resolve these issues to fix our world? I want to live in a peaceful world. I want to see everyone fed. I want to see everyone housed and clothed. I want to see everyone healed. I know that we have that power. Jesus said we did, and I believed him. I take his words literally. If he really was the Son of God, then he can't be a liar. Otherwise, he's not the Son of God. That's the way I look at it. And if God is love, God's not telling you to go out there and kill everybody. Otherwise, it's not the God that I thought he was. You see what I'm saying? So, common sense has got to start ruling the day. If we're going to fight over all these politicians, like the Worldwide Wrestling Federation, we're going to fight for our favorite team player or our favorite football team or whatever, people go out there and they play basketball at colleges, and when they win, they tear up their college. When the people get mad at the government, they go tear up their own communities. They burn down businesses that could have given them a job. They tore down their brothers and sisters' businesses or homes, tore up everything, hurt people, and did all these things. Is that the way we got to go to fix things? I'm just trying to ask. There's got to be.
That's nothing. Look at the people that go. I just saw photographs of the Memorial Day beach mess. People went to the beach for Memorial Day. You should have seen the trash they left. I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't get it, folks.
Why would you do that? Why would you trash something if you want to go there and see the beauty of that beach and be able to enjoy it in the future? Why would you want to trash it and leave it trashed for somebody, the next person in line?
So, look, you have the whole thing is quite interesting to me. I find the way they set up they, meaning the cabal, the elite, the money, whatever, money changers, the way they set the system up is quite extraordinarily brilliant, if you think about it. And I'm not saying I don't like it, but it's brilliant because everybody falls into it. So, Yolens just said, Jerry said, they offer Mexican youth citizenship in the United States to go into the frontline military. Our U.S. government does that. And they're saying, this is Mexicans from Mexico. they go there to recruit. And, so I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, yes, and so why would these Mexican youth do that? Because they're being offered a job, money, they can get an education. Same thing with people here in the United States, people of color or people who don't have a lot. Where do they go? You have in the colleges the recruiters there in high school, and they're telling them, you know, well, it's going to cost you a lot of money to go to college, join the army, join the navy, whatever, join the military, you can get an education and you will get a salary, and so on and so forth. So they set this up beautifully. Go to war, come on with us, you know, we'll make a man out of you. We'll manipulate your mind and brainwash you so that you can kill somebody else's child. Well, they don't tell them that, but that's the plan. You see, the plan, the agenda, the system is so brilliant, you have to look at it and be amazed.
Yeah, well, they've had plenty of time to work on it. But right now, I'm seeing something happen in this world that, that I don't think that they actually expected to happen because of the system's worked so well. But you can see the desperate way that they try to censor all these social media platforms because it gets in the way of the agenda. When people are actually able to talk to each other, we find out that we have more things in common than we do on the opposite side of the spectrum. That most of us believe in life and most of us believe in environmental issues and taking care of each other. Most of us believe in goodness. And you can't have that if you want these people fighting each other. You can't have them pointing out the ones behind the curtain.
You can't have unity. You must pit them against each other. You cannot have, healing. You must make them sick so that they're forever, you know, physically wounded, sick, without strength, without, ability. So this is a plan. You know, the thing that comes to my mind, Yolan said, go to exotic places, meet exotic people, and kill them. It reminds me of Vietnam, and I think this is probably done by others as well, but I remember seeing a documentary of men who were in the Vietnam War going back to Vietnam many, many years later and seeking out other soldiers there, the Vietnamese soldiers. I mean, this was a meeting that was planned they were determined to do this, to meet with those Vietnam people, to reconcile with them, to pray together, to come together. I mean, it's pretty powerful and pretty awesome and very emotional. But the people did this themselves, not our government. Our government didn't say, hey, we're going to take some of you soldiers over there, and you know, we want you guys to sit around and, you know, have some drinks together or have food together and reconcile with the families that we sent you over there to slaughter. And no, the government didn't do that. These men in our military, our own men, fathers and sons and whatever, brothers and women, did that. They went there, and it was, I'll tell you, it was beyond emotion. It was really hard to sit there and watch it.
Yeah.
You know?
I can see it. You know, I was trying to read some comments in the chat room. It looked like Yul Lentz was kind of upset about a few things out there. Really didn't understand a whole lot of what was going on because I missed the majority of the conversation. But one of the things was something about the wall that you want to put it between Mexico and, you know,
States. Well, he was talking about the remark about the recruiting Mexican young going to our government, going to Mexico, literally going to Mexico, and recruiting young men to go to the front lines in our, you know, in our military.
Yeah, and so that's kind of like, I get it. You know, I wish.
And then I guess the next thing was, what about the wall, which I'm not quite sure.
Well,
yeah, well, the wall is a joke. I mean, so this is all a game, people. Again, you have to keep remembering our government and the authorities, whomever those authorities are, the people making the rules, and for us, are playing us good. They're playing us good. It's all their game, all their circus, all their manipulations, okay, for whatever their agenda is, and the you know, the end result is gaining that theirs for them. That's it. For us, it's all their game. They're using us like pawns.
That's the whole thing. And as far as the wall being built or not being built, you know, look, I wish we lived in a perfect world. I wish we didn't have to own firearms. I wish there wasn't no reason why we'd want to go to war with one another. But for some reason, humanity hasn't caught up to that mindset yet. Deep down in their hearts, they all want peace. All of them. But except for the ones that want to make money off of the misery, but the majority of the average person out here wants peace. They don't want to go and fight with people. So how are we going to make this happen? How are we going to make peace so? And the only way that we're ever going to be able to do anything about any of this is to first realize that the system is playing you like a banjo. They're playing on your heartstrings, they're playing on your fears, they're playing on your frustrations and your anger, and that's why the wall's getting built. That's why there's a separation. I wish we could just go, I'd love to walk over into Canada and just say hi to everybody. Hey, how's it going, brothers, sisters? You know, I'd like to walk down to Mexico and do the same thing. Right now, it probably wouldn't be a very good idea.
You can do it. You got to go through the desert, take lots of water.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. You know, we are being...
Speaking of lots of water, have been arrested for leaving water and food in the desert.
Oh, I believe it. But we're being separated. We're being separated, segregated. We're being pitted against each other over and over and over again. And the thing that I was going to say earlier was, I've been noticing that there's a lot more people kind of talking about things on how to fix things and the power of the words. And I've seen for a long time, there are a lot of people waking up. You know, if that's what you want to call it, you know.
I think so. I do feel that. I see that. And I've red-pilled a couple people myself. Which is kind of interesting, you know. Just happened by happenstance. I didn't set out to do it, but I think people are ready, and I think a lot of people are ready, and they feel something, you know, which is good. A lot of people are saying, I've kind of suspected this all along, but I didn't really know how to find the truth. You know, I think that there are shifts and changes and happening, and for me, I mean, I feel like I said before, this is an awesome time that we are here at this timeline together.
Yeah.
And I think there is a spiritual war. I cannot deny that. This is a spiritual battle. Because it is about the dark and the light, because there is some really dark stuff out there, and I'm down to evil. And, of course, you know, the opposite of the dark is that light, or goodness. Goodness, from evil, from harm, from... Well, I mean, there is this energy here, and we are part of the frequencies and the energies by our word and our thought and our acts, which are so powerful.
I think that to toot our own horns here for a second, I think that you and I have figured out a way, whether it be some sort of message or whatever, figured out a way to break that programming that is, if you go out there and you try to have a conscious conversation respectfully with somebody about any particular deal, they have been programmed to be triggered at certain words that they then start spewing out the mainstream narrative over without any kind of factual, you know, hey, I was actually standing there, I actually saw this, I know for a fact it's real, I lived it personally, and this is what I witnessed. Well, without that, you can't have a conversation without these folks starting to escalate and yell over the top of each other. And you can't focus your mind in having a good critical conversation with somebody and getting to the truth of any matter for any subject out there, because it's so emotionally charged, and they have went through years of indoctrination to get them to that extent. And when I say years of indoctrination, I'm not just talking about, you know, from the time they were going to school. I'm talking about when they got out of school, when they went to college, and when they listened to all the news and got politically involved with the situation and whatever. They've been told by whoever it is that they watch the most, by their favorite, you know, mainstream news outlet, whichever side of the story that they needed to hear to keep them on that side of the fence, while the other side was on just the opposite. You see what I'm saying? So it's almost impossible to have a conversation these days. So when you and I can sit here and have these conversations, we're not getting triggered. You see what I'm saying?
No, we're not. And that's very important, because, again, it's about the energy. I don't want to project hate. I don't want to project, I'm not a hateful person anyway, but I would not project hate. I would not project violence. I would not project despair, because I'm not despairing. I don't feel despairing and hopelessness. I wouldn't project those things. That's just not my nature, but also thinking of it critically, I wouldn't do it, because I know the effects that has. I know those emotions are and words are powerful.
Yep, and I say to everybody, and you've said it many times, Patty said it, that don't listen to what we say and take it as gospel. You know, you do your research, and that sounds redundant, but you got to do your own research. You've got to follow your own heart's truth and find the real truth, because we're all susceptible to every bit of information ever provided to us. So that's why I can't sit down here and tell you, I know for a fact God's real, and if you don't do what he says, he's going to throw you in the fire. I don't believe that.
Well, but, I'm glad you're not saying that.
But I'm saying...
I wouldn't be on the show.
Yeah, I'm saying you need to go out there and you need to find your truth. And the rabbit hole that is the mainstream media and even the entertainment industry and even alternative media as well, you should be questioning everything. And I'm not saying don't ever believe anything anybody says, but trust, but verify. Always verify any information. Don't get angry when you hear something, because there's been a lot of times a lot of people, they misread the entire situation and had to go back later and apologize. Well, you know, I didn't see that other part. You know, I didn't realize that. But if they would have heard the whole wording in context from what it was said, they might not be as angry at Trump as they were, you know, prior, when they only heard just a little bit of peace, and that one word triggered them. Oh, he's a racist, he's hateful, and this and that. Well, as far as I'm concerned, he's an actor on a stage, but nonetheless, if you only heard a part of the story, if for some reason somebody only gave you one little sound bite, and that's all you heard, but you didn't hear it in the full context of what it said, you're going to make a decision, and that's how you're going to repeat that information to somebody else. Whether it's books from science or any book written anywhere out there, you should be questioning everything. You should verify all the information given to you, especially in today's deceptive media outlet, because you know dang good and well they're lying to you because common sense says so. Why isn't Hillary in jail right now? Anybody else would be in jail right now, but maybe that was planned in order to just keep you frustrated. Your government's corrupt. We want you to hate your government. Guess what? Guys like George Soros know how to destroy governments by sending agitators into said government and destabilizing that nation, getting people fighting against each other, saying whatever they have to say in order to get this religion to fight against that religion, or this political group to fight against that political group. And it's so easy for them to do that. Jerry Springer made millions of dollars agitating people, both sides of the fence, and he'd bring them on stage, and they'd fight each other, and they'd hit each other with the chair, and the doggone people out there in the crowd would be going, "Jerry, Jerry," you know, while these people are up on stage hurting each other, making a mockery of each other, ridiculing and just being rotten. The people out there were cheering it on. This was the dog and pony show that they paid for, and they just loved it. Well, if that's what you want out of this world, it's easy to get it. But if you want to get something decent out of this world, you're going to have to figure out how to weed through the information coming to you. And before you go off the wall and talking about how rotten people are, or how you know, this person should be dead or killed, or dead and killed, guess same thing, but in jail or killed or whatever, until you think you have the justification to take another person's life in any war, you better know what the heck is going on. Who pushed the buttons? Who started the fight to begin with? You better know the truth before you take and sacrifice your life or your families or your children, anyone in this world, for something that could have very well been a lie to begin with. You have to walk this path with wisdom. Otherwise, you're going to be fooled into doing things that you're going to regret. I guarantee you that. That's the world. That's the world right there.
Oh, you know, it's good to be here. You people in the chat are awesome. I really love to be here on Sundays on the round table. It's you and me today. I don't know where everyone is, but that's okay. Everybody's here on the chat having good conversations. Really some good input. And, yeah, nobody's screaming at anybody.
Yeah, nobody's storming out, cussing each other out because they disagree.
No. Hey, Ben. Ben just, hey, Ben.
But see, you know, the whole thing is we need a solution, and I'm trying to uplift my brothers and sisters out there to let them know that they are the solution. They're the miracle that we've all been waiting for. We are the miracles that we've been waiting for. And I know that it seems so impossible that we can't resolve this. I get it. You can't go out and change people. People are going to be people. But if you actually live a lifestyle and you lead by example, and other people see how successful your life becomes and how they want to be like you, they want to adopt your habits or whatever, that's how you do it. And this doesn't take 20, 30 years or a lifetime in order to be able to do it. You just do the best you can with what you got to work with. And you're already doing the right thing.
Well, you can only change yourself.
That's it.
We can't change anybody else. And, you know, when you spend... Here's the thing. I think people messed up on this love thing. I think love, the love piece. It's sort of the people say, it's like the condition. People love with conditions. That's why I say unconditional love is really, let's aspire for that, because that will change the world. If we love unconditionally, that it will change the world, meaning that people love with conditions. I'll love you if I can control you, or I love you if you do this or that or so on. Well, that's not really love, and that gets us messed up with people, of course, and we have an agenda. You have an expectation of that person, and I think the thing with, like, I'm going to say Yeshua and all the other teachers that came are talking about unconditional love. It's just being that love energy. Yes, Annie. That love frequency, that love energy, which has no expectations at all. It's just love. You know, I love you for your beauty. I love you for your humanness. I love you, you know, as you are. Love yourself as you are. You know, love yourself unconditionally. Work on that, because we have a lot of conditions and expectations of ourselves that we set up, or other people set up, that we are striving or striving to, you know, fulfill other people's expectations, and we don't even know our own self, you know.
We were taught to hate ourselves.
Yes.
I'm a white man, even though if you actually go check my heritage, you'll find out that I'm not a completely white man. It's nonetheless.
I don't know if there's any completely white.
But either way,
white man, anyway, I think
that's a fallacy. Either way, the way that mainstream media depicts me is that I've got extra privileges because of who I am and this and that.
You have a different brain.
And that I'm responsible for things that I wasn't even alive during, or that I should feel bad about myself because of the color of my skin. Well,
you're relegated to the upper echelons of society, where people of color are relegated to the lower echelons of society. And that's part of the agenda, folks.
Didn't Martin Luther King say that he wanted to see a time when we were all judged not by our color of our skin, but the content of our character and our actions? You know? And I don't believe he's the first one that said that.
He did say that, but now there's this big push to attack Martin Luther King, and I don't know who's doing that, but I have a suspicion about that he had many affairs, blah blah blah. Okay, so does that take away those beautiful words and he said? No. Does it take away the beautiful focus that he had on peace, passion for peace and righteousness for all and for his people, the people? Does it, just because he had affairs, I don't agree with it, but I'm saying, does that make him an evil person or a bad person? Does that disseminate his beautiful, powerful
The common denominator to all these trials and tribulations is the fact that they want to basically attack anything that has to do with love, respect, morals.
Yeah, so they erase decency. Easily his the good things about that man. They take it down because he had a couple of affairs. So therefore, wipe away everything about him. That's the plan. That's the whole agenda. They do the same thing with everybody. Trump is another one. Everyone. I mean, I'm not standing up for Trump, but I'm saying I see this across the board, that anyone who has anything good about them or does something good, what they do is they focus on, you know, the stuff that, he may have made a mistake, or maybe he had an affair, or, I mean, Trump didn't have any affairs while he's in the White House, but President Kennedy did, and also Clinton did. You know, they were in that famous closet in the White House with women while their wives and their families were sleeping in the White House.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Well, if
President Kennedy, to me, was a really, really extraordinary man and president. Now, he's got dirt. Everybody has skeletons. I'm not talking about, now, murder is a different thing. But I'm just saying, what is it that people focus on, and the ones who have an agenda that they want to eliminate and destroy goodness and care and love? And they want people riled up. They want people angry. They want people pointing fingers and fighting. They don't want us to come together.
That's right.
As
they
a
want,
human family.
They want you to throw the first stone.
Yeah,
that's what they want.
Keep throwing them.
Keep throwing stones.
Hey, you live in glass houses. Don't throw stones. We all have a skeleton or two in our closet.
That's
I'm just
it.
Saying. Even those who are screaming the loudest at others.
When they wanted,
just saying.
The story said that when they wanted to stone this woman first, she supposedly committed adultery, that Jesus picked up a stone and said, handed it around to everybody. He says, let he without sin cast the first stone, and nobody would take the rock. Why? You know?
Well, think about that. They're still stoning people. Think of that from since the time of Jesus. Think of that. The peaceful, the religions of peace, they're all claiming they're peaceful, not just the Muslim religion, all religions, you know, whatever. So that's why, you know how I feel about organized religion,
yeah,
just the word. So I gotta head out here.
one last thing before you take off, though. He, by handing them that stone, made them hold themselves accountable. So, think about that. Anyway, you got any last words of wisdom before you bail out on us?
Well, I just want to say I love all you guys. Thank you for being here. Everybody out there listening, and wherever you are on the Mother Earth, we're all family here. We're all human people. We all live on this Mother. This is our home. We're all together in this, and I know we all really want the same thing. We all really want peace. We all really want to be healthy, and our children to be healthy, and we deserve that, and we deserve peace, and we deserve joy, and I think we have more power than we give ourselves credit for. Well, I know we do, in fact. And I know that we can impact and change things for the good and for the better by our word, by our frequency, our light, and certainly by, you know, the unconditional love. Love with no conditions. Start with yourself first. I just feel I have great hope. We've talked about a lot of we're really crazy wackadoodle things starting our show here, and it's all really factual and real and crazy. But I feel really hopeful for us. I do. And I know we are at an awesome period in humanity's timeline, and I have this great hope and faith. And so I want to thank everybody for being here. I'll be here tomorrow. Patty and I will have tomorrow Turtle and Crow show, and probably Luca will be with us, which we have some amazing things lined up.
Cool.
To talk about. So, yeah, and I love all you guys, and thank you for being with us today, Doksha.
Well, it's always a pleasure. I'm honored and humbled that you join every Sunday. We've had some really insightful conversations. You know, we try to point out things sometimes, like you said, in a, kind of a lighthearted manner, because people are going crazy. And it's understandable why. But whenever you decide you want to be on that side of the team that's wanting to make the world better, the first thing you got to realize is that the system is playing a game of deception on everyone. It's not just you that they're deceiving. It's the world. And that's what this evilness does, or whatever, you know. It's the same evil that sends people to war. The same evil that allows people to starve to death, to be homeless, sick. The way that people are treated when, you know, they go out and serve their countries, trying to do the right thing for whatever purpose, you know, whether it was alive to begin with. You know, it's their intentions, I'm sure. But nonetheless, while we're on this journey together, and while we're trying to make the world a better place, just travel these rough roads with wisdom, and treat each other the best you possibly can. You know, that's the only thing I can think that you could even ask of anybody or yourself, is to do the best that you can. Do the best you can for yourself, and do the best that you can for others. It's the whole treat others like you want to be treated thing. You know, it's common sense. But just know that there are people out there that don't have your best interest at heart. Don't fear them. Don't give them the power over you. Don't allow them to put a dent in your soul, so to speak. Don't allow them to drag you down to their level, to where you start doing just the same things that you are hollering about. If you're sitting there hollering how rotten somebody is because of their filthy language, then you got to check your own language at the door, if you understand what I'm trying to say. We can fix this. I honestly believe that we can fix this. I honestly believe that we have the power, that we have the resources. As long as we have the biggest portion of this puzzle, which is each other, the unity necessary, not under some one world ideology or under some one world banner, just under a one world idea that we all want the same exact thing. We want peace. We want love. We want people to be cared for. And I honestly believe it's achievable, even in the world that we see playing out before our very eyes. It is a mess. It didn't get this way overnight, and it ain't going to get solved overnight. But if you yourself believe in yourself enough, you know, in my book of faith, I'm not shoving my Christianity down anyone's throat, but Jesus said to me that if I had the faith of a mustard seed, that's only a tiny little bit of faith in the grand scheme of things, but if I had that much faith, that all these things that he did, that I could do, if I truly believed in it, if I spoke to a mountain, it would move, and I believe it. Alright, well, that's my journey. But the power of that words, the power of those words spoken to me, inspired me to want to use the power of my words in a good way, to try to uplift spirits, and try to reach out there and touch the hearts of the many, so that you would know that you're just that powerful. You are just as powerful as anyone else standing next to you. You are a special person. Each and every one of you is unique and individual. I don't care if you got identical twins. Not both of those are the same exactly. There's something different about each and every one of you. You are unique. You're special. You are a divine creation. That if you understood the power of your words alone, not just the power of your words, but the power of your actions, that you are capable of so much. And you can inspire people with those words. You can lift their spirit up to the highest reaches of heaven, or you can take those words and you can lower that spirit down to the lowest, darkest, deepest abyss of what some people think is hell. That's how powerful you are. And my God didn't create any trash, only treasure. That means each and every one of you is a piece of that treasure. That missing piece of the puzzle, that if we ever come together, we'll get the truth, we'll get the big picture, and we will make it so when we say that we want our world to be a better place, even if it's only one positive pebble at a time. Peace and love to each and every one of you. I'm going to play a song that a friend shared on the way out of here. Thanks for listening to the Knights of the Roundtable. Share the message.
I believe that sun should never set upon an argument. I believe we place our happiness in other people's hands. I believe the junk food tastes so good because it's bad for you. I believe your parents did the best job they knew how to do. I believe that beauty magazines promote low self-esteem. I believe in love when I'm completely by myself alone. I believe in karma, what you give is what you get returned. I believe you can. Greener on the other side.
the key to your unhappiness. I believe that wedded bliss negates the need to be undressed. I believe that God does not endorse TV evangelists. I believe in love surviving death into eternity. I believe in karma, what you give and what you get returned. I believe you can appreciate real love till you've been burned. I believe the grass is no more greener on the other side. I believe you don't know what you've got until you say goodbye.
That ant that stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh.
One ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Old woman!
Man!
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how do you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system. Help, help, I'm being repressed.
Bloody peasant.
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
We're knights of the round table, we dance when we're able. We do routines, we call the scenes, we put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give and rhyme to our quiet hunting label. We're off so mad in Camelot, we sing from the diaphragm
to push the pram along.
On second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right. Hey, hey, hey. King Shazir's the Terrible. All rise for King Shazir's the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.